Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
I also wanted to ask, how have you... I guess I'll phrase it this way. Can you share a time where you have applied counter-racism on your job? I know workplace racism is a subject that is near to my heart, something we try to talk about often. Can you share a time where you've had to apply counter-racist techniques on the job?
Oh, yeah. Where do I begin? Oh, my. Let's see. Which one will I pick? Oh, there was a situation, I'm trying to think about the year, probably, I'd say 98, 99 time frame. Hey, what year, what was the first year that Tiger Woods won the Masters? Do you recall offhand?
I think that was 97, I think, 97.
Okay. Then yes, I'm pretty sure this was around the 98 time frame then. Yeah, someone had found a paper left on the copier, the Xerox machine, and it had some white supremacist writings on it. So someone had found that. And they took it to, I guess, someone in HR, human resources, or maybe they took it to the, you know, assistant administrator or whomever. Anyway, so the HR person head was a white female who I had already clashed with because she had... tried to block a promotion that had been enacted for me. And by the way, I used counter-racist logic to deal with that situation. So I did get the promotion. But anyway, this other situation where there's this white supremacist material left on the copier. So she, this white female, racist suspect, had the assistant administrator, the most senior person in that division, send out an email to, you know, everyone in the division saying there would be zero tolerance of discussion about such in this workplace. There was no investigation done or anything like that as to who where it came from or anything like that. And so I wrote this 3-page response that noted that there was no investigation done. And, you know, I asked a number of questions about that. And this zero tolerance on discussion about anything to do with racism that was noted, I thought that was inappropriate because if you're not having a discussion about it, it's not being dealt with, and certainly it is present in the organization. And so I listed all of the reasons why we needed to have discussion about these topics. And so that got the attention of a number of senior folks. And yeah, there was not an investigation about that particular incident, but there was a rescinding of that decision or that directive to have no discussion about racism in the workplace. But it was, you know, it was according to code. And there were incidents where, there was many incidents, but I can say, particularly with Mr. Fuller's guidance, I have personally witnessed and have knowledge of, I know at least four situations where black males in particular, who were coming under attack in various job settings, whether it's sort of a blue-collar situation or a so-called white-collar office situation, whether it's highly technical or not, I have seen them be successful by practicing counter-racist logic and applying it in the workplace setting. And certainly Dr. Welsing did the same thing in support of a black female law enforcement officer who was verbally attacked on the job, and through her very calm, quiet tone of discussion about the system of white supremacy in the workplace, was able to be out on stress and be protected from that environment for a number of years. And again, it's just having an understanding of what motivates people's behavior, those who classify themselves as white, and the skillful use of words, what you say, what you don't say, and particularly utilizing the Constitution. Various specific amendments, oftentimes the 14th and the 5th, but utilizing the Constitution to back you up, to align yourself with the mission of the organization, whatever it is, and utilize the Constitution and utilize codified language that will work for you and against them. You know, that's the sort of the recipe. But there have been a number of situations. Yeah, I was able to unblock the promotion that was being blocked by a white female by utilizing those kinds of principles. And, you know, being accustomed to being in situations with white females in particular. So I found it helpful to make a preemptive strike to set forward before the meeting gets underway or the discussion that if a white female cries during this exchange, then she needs to excuse herself from the room and not serve as a disturbance or a derailment of this discussion. Because oftentimes that is used as a strategic measure, a tactical measure by white females to unravel a discussion about racism. So, there are many examples.
Wow. Now that counter-racist suggestion, that is worthy of a title, Dr. Sabrina Johnson, to have the preemptive strike to make sure that the weeping white woman does not strike. That is lovely. That can be applied. We have Workplace Racism every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Indeed. Every Thursday, Workplace Racism. Context of White Supremacy, Gusty Venegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, Thursday, May 4th, 2017. So I have been told. This is our weekly broadcast, Workplace Racism. We are having a pretty significant thunderstorm. It's springtime, so at least some folks in North America know that they do have some rather vicious thunderstorms from time to time. We are in the midst of one of those right now. You can probably hear the rain coming down in the background. If I can find a quieter location, that might be a challenge. But if I can find a location where the rain is not as loud, I will do so, but it is a pretty significant storm. It is thundering. The lights flickered a time or two. I thought we might lose power, which I guess still could happen. If something happens with the connection or what have you, it could very well be the thunderstorm, but got that out of the way. Hopefully that will not be an issue. Workplace racism, if you have commentary, you all. Maybe it's subsiding. Workplace racism. If you have commentary you would like to share, observations, if you have workplace suggestions, if you figured out some things that work well to neutralize racist activity, them trying to stop you from getting a promotion, getting a raise, what have you, we definitely want to hear from you. If you are a black entrepreneur, let us know how being what they call self-employed, how that changes your contact with white people and how you have to confront, deal with racism on the job. Dial in the number 641-715-3640. The code 564-943 pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Number again, 641-715-3640. Code 564-943 pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. I want to encourage folks, this broadcast is not for spectators. If you are a black person anywhere in the world, and you have a job, you work, you have some experience with workplace racism directly and or indirectly, where there's difficulties with other victims of racism on the job, or whites not doing their work, unwanted touching in some way, shape, form, and even reflecting on your workplace history, jobs that you've had previously. I am sure a lot of us can think of times and experiences, things that happened to us that we maybe didn't even consider to be incidents of white supremacy at the time, but now having a better understanding, we grasp that's what it was. Whites being racist. Dial in, share. I think it's very helpful, particularly we have younger listeners who don't have an extensive work history, so it's helpful for them. I think helpful for all of us to kind of know some of the racist things, racist tactics to expect on the job, and to just realize that a lot of these incidents, a lot of times we'll end up thinking that it's something we did, that we made an error, or blaming ourselves, and just finding out, nope, these are standard situations that white people arrange, they choreograph and rehearse how to go about making a black person's job experience at work miserable so that you can be fired, or if you're going to stay there and work, that you'll just, it'll be horrendous for you every day, and you won't get those promotions and raises either. With that, that was Sabrina Johnson. She was one of Dr. Welsing's very close companions, a student of hers for many, many years, decades even. And she was just with us this past Sunday. She was talking about her application of workplace racism on the job. asking questions, taking notes. She even talked about that after the program, where she had even more instances of workplace racism. And she also emphasized that sometimes these things can take a long time. She was talking about an incident that she just was bringing about to some sort of resolution, and it started in May of last year, which just further underscores the importance of taking notes. I guarantee you, for the vast majority of us, even if you have a great memory, and I do not, but even if you have a great memory, if you have to remember exact details, and I mean down to the sentence, noun, verb, exactly, verbatim, 6 months from now, 8 months from now, I guarantee you, most of us, you might have an error. You might mess something up from time to time. I think most of us would be more comfortable knowing that, oh, okay, that's written down. I've got all the notes and everything to refresh what happened with the conversation and the exact terms, words that were used. That said, I also wanted to make sure that I encourage, because I was thinking about my own work experience, as I encourage you all to, and I thought, wow, I have had issues with compensation, even when I was working for a black person. I have had issues where something with my compensation was incorrect. Either, you know, I was supposed to get X amount and it was short of that for some reason. Hours that were worked overtime, like, that has happened. And I don't recall anyone saying, when I was first starting out, saying, hey, you know, hey, Gus, when you go to work, make sure you check, you know, that you're getting your correct compensation. You know, if you have direct deposit, they generally will still get you your slip, you know, to document your hours and everything. Make sure you look at that and make sure that it's accurate, the rate, the hours worked and everything, because people make mistakes. And sometimes it can just be a clerical error. That does happen. I make errors. Most of us do, I think. That does happen. So, I mean, it might not be that they were trying to, you know, stiff you out of some money or what have you. You can just go and, you know, maybe this was a clerical error. Seems the something is not correct. Can we get this fixed? And I have had no problems. The times when it was just a clerical error, somebody messed up, no problem, get it taken care of. I also would say, based on the number of times that I've heard this from listeners and my own experiences, that with the system of white supremacy, I also think that sometimes racists on these jobs say, hey, we're not going to compensate. We're not going to pay these niggas what they're worth anyway. We're giving them, you know, $5. They're really worth probably, you know, $500 million. Well, we're going to give them $5 and a bag of peanuts. Maybe we can cheat them and just give them $2 instead of the five. In fact, let's see if we can slip $1.50 by and see if they're not paying attention. Maybe we got one that can't read too well or what have you. We'll see if we can slip them $1.50 and just do it that. I definitely think that that happens quite a bit as well. So whether it's just an honest mistake or whether it is an act of white supremacy, you need to make sure your compensation is correct. And I would even say, if you're starting out on a job, that might be a good question to ask. What is the procedure if there is some sort of error, clerical or what have you, with my check, to make sure that I get that resolved? Is there an arbitration? Just, that's a good one that you don't want to wait until the last minute to notice that you're short about, you know, $600 on your check, and you don't know the procedure for resolving that. That's one that you want to have adequate knowledge well in advance. Getting to some of the folks that wrote in, again, if you're not able to call in and you want to share, if you either have commentary on some of the things that people have to say, or if you have questions, or you want to participate but you're just not able to call, you can email untiljustice@gmail.com, untiljustice@gmail.com. We can keep it anonymous if that's an issue as well. But folks did write in for workplace racism. Oops, I forgot to call Stacy in the UK. I will give Stacy a ring momentarily. I will read one of the letters from the folks that wrote in. First one. Okay, so this is the black male. He was doing construction work. He said that the white supervisor had said, had been making just crude racist comments, had said, you know, part of your job is to get a towel and wipe the sweat from my brow while we're doing construction work. And he figured out some counter racist questions to ask this race soldier to stop him from doing this, right? So he's giving us the update. So he writes in. Brief update on the work situation with the supervisor. One of the things I started doing to keep nosy whites from poking, being nosy, is to fill out my W-4 as exempt, so I don't have to list any dependents. So here, while I feel that the white supervisor was trying to dominate in that area, labor and economics, when I handed him my form, he told me that I needed to fill out my dependents, to which I informed him I'm going to exempt. He then told me that that's fine, but put down a 1 on line H. I repeated that I want exempt. So I put a 1 by line H, and what you know, when I received my check, they taxed me at the highest level. I then told him there was an error with the exemption. He said that he has to talk to the payroll department about it. He comes back with, the only way I can get exemptions is if I write a letter stating that I'm responsible for taxes, which is what I am doing when I sign the W-4. When I had the letter ready for him, he then was on another job. It appears that he was trying to dodge me, but I finally got it straightened out after a week. Also, I want to thank you, Gus, and all the guests, callers with their suggestions for me. It's always good to have more than one response ready when confronted with these people. I would like to offer a suggestion for those that have been having issues with whites that cling you are standoffish. What seems to work for me, if they're insisting on you having coffee or lunch with them, I would limit contact by having my wife call me at a predetermined time, so I would have to leave them by themselves, or I would set an alarm on my phone to ring 10 minutes into the break, so I would have to get up and leave them. Hope this might help someone. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I love it. Just being on a timer, man. I mean, you can be real creative with that. If it's a lunch situation, a coffee situation, anything where this is some non-work related, we just want to hang out and, you know, get more time. We can probe, ask questions, make some crude remarks, anything, waste your time. You can be really creative if you have, you know, a spouse, if you have friends or what have you, siblings that can shoot you a text message. Oh, we need your help at home. Such and such happened. Oh, you have children. That's always a good one. Oh, such and such said his stomach is not feeling well. Don't know if it's serious, but you might want to come and take a look, or just come and, you know, talk. You can come up with a wealth of ways where you can just cut it short. We can do the coffee, as was stated, or lunch, or whatever it is, but this is not going to be, you know, an hour, 2 hour, 45-minute ordeal. This is, I got 15 minutes that I'm going to allocate for this, or 10 or 20 or whatever it is, and after that, I got things to do. And you can even let them know that in advance. I think Roz and some of our other callers have said that. I got things to do. I got family members that need my attention. I keep a really busy schedule. I just don't have a whole lot of extra time these days. Working hard, like you all are too. I know everybody's got fames and everything. Time is tight. Only got 24 hours in a day. If I could buy some extra hours, I'd do it. You can, you know, jazz it up, make it sound really good. I'll sprinkle the rest in as we roll. Other people wrote in, and I will check live time. So if you have suggestions, or if you just have your own incident you want to share, feel free to share. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you have commentary you would like to share, line should be open. Feel free. Let's see. Got those folks. And the number again, 641-715-3640. The code 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Hey, good evening. 2812, from Virginia, mortgage banker. Hope everybody's having a good week. A couple of observations. I'll try to be as constructive as possible. I had called in, might have been 3 months ago, in reference to a white woman that was insulting me and had threatened me. She might have thought it was funny. I didn't. Due to a lot of different suggestions, specifically firefighter, changed my behavior, stopped doing a lot of giggling, stopped laughing, just changed my tone. It stopped. Today, I got a call from my manager. He's a white male. And he said, hey, I wanted this information to come from you that, you know, this white woman is no longer with the company. Now, mind you, she and I actually share an office. and we were put into the same territory to quote unquote grow the area and lending and business and gaining business. So, you know, the interesting thing was that when he was talking to me, and he's been doing this a lot, but he's trying to make sure that I'm not going anywhere. Now, I don't have any intentions of doing anything. You know, my business is, it's okay. I'm taking care of my family, whatever. But, you know, his assurance was very interesting. He was like, you know, it just didn't work out with her and stuff like that. And all in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, whatever you fired her for, I could get fired for something totally easier than that or smaller. So I wasn't happy or sad. It's just it was what it was. I think the reason why I wasn't really mad was because the fact that I changed my behavior, you know, her behavior towards me didn't really matter, so I didn't even pay attention to her. And so I was just courteous, but very serious, and she's no longer with the company. And I'm sure I'm going to have some repercussions from deals and things of that nature that she had. But I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm no longer working with her directly. I do have more responsibility. I do have now a female assistant that is also a younger white female. Very interesting. Sometimes what I've noticed, this show has helped me, particularly Mr. Fuller, is to be courteous, but also listen and let a lot of people talk. And she comes from a military family, and because I have to work directly with her, she takes care of some of my business and my loans and phone calls and with clients and stuff like that, suspected racist. And it's just interesting how now I can deal with people and even be courteous, but at the same time suspect them as racist, suspect them of practicing racism, which is something I would have never done, you know, even 2 years ago. So that was interesting. Another thing, in reference to economics, area of economics, I do think this is helpful. I was with my fiance in North Carolina, and we were leaving, going somewhere, and there's a restaurant called Golden Crust. If anybody's familiar with it, it is a Jamaican restaurant, and I support it wherever I go. And so we're driving from where we were staying at to get to this Golden Crust, and she was like, you drove 35 minutes to go to a Golden Crust? And I just said to her, and it's been helpful because I've said this to many people, and I said, you know, black people, we eat a lot of Chick-fil-A. If we start going to Chick-fil-A tomorrow, that business would still be open. If we start going to Golden Crust, you know, people are out of jobs, and they're going to be victims of racism. And she said, I never thought of it like that. And I said, that's a reason why we have to support other businesses. So I don't know if anybody will find that constructive or not, but I do think that it's very, very helpful. I try to go out of my way to do that. I did that when I was living in New York. I did that now in Virginia. It's a lot more difficult, but whenever I can, you know, there are different applications to where you can go out there and help other business owners. If you hear anybody else that's on the cows that is a business owner, go out of your way to even do a donation or to do something different, because everything helps. And because we're in a system of racism, you know, sometimes we're not going to have access to as many opportunities as other people are. So it's extremely important that we try to help people in a constructive manner. And that's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Great examples of black self-respect. Awesome. Awesome. And the importance of being courteous. That's something that I think Mr. Fuller talks about. Dr. Welsing talks about. Dr. Kanban. I think a lot of folks that people have some regard for, just being courteous, particularly on the job, because that's, I think Mr. Fuller, he was emphasizing that he feels like racists, they want us to get emotional and loud and cursing when you can just stay calm and even not necessarily doing a lot of talking, just listening to what they're saying and making sure that you hear them clearly. And then being able to ask questions courteously, calmly, can work very, very effectively. Hopefully that gets demonstrated on the cows a lot as well. Other folks who have a hand up that we have not heard from, if you have commentary, lines should be open.
May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, this is female caller from Ohio. I just had a few observations and I guess more, I guess another update with my supervisor being replaced, the one who has passed away. So they end up replacing him with yet another white man. He's a younger white man, and I feel like he's definitely very subtle with his racism, I guess. I'm not quite sure if that's the right word to use, but when they were introducing him during the meeting that they called to announce that he was going to be the new supervisor, they basically, you know, I've been really listening to all the different metaphors that are being used, and one of the metaphors that they used, or one of the things that they said was, oh, well, when they picked him, he said, the new supervisor, he said, oh, well, you know, they kind of tapped me on my shoulder and whispered in my ear, you know, to see if I would go ahead and take over the position, because he was a supervisor in a different area. And so I just really thought that that was odd, because they did not, you know, at least put out a posting. Not that I wanted the position, but they didn't even do that. And another thing that I noticed is that at another meeting, the heads of the company, of course, like the upper management, is primarily all whites. Very few non-whites, if any, that I've actually seen. I haven't seen any non-whites, but the white man who was leading the meeting, he was definitely stressing the importance of them wanting to hire within. And, you know, if different people were to go off to school and come back, they would definitely try to hire within, which is in direct contrast to a story that I shared on the show a while back, where there was another young black female in my department. A supervisor position came up, and they hired outside of the company. They hired a white woman outside of the company who didn't even stay with the company for that long. So I just thought that that was definitely, you know, a clear act of racism. Another thing that I wanted to say that helped me out a lot, because I definitely had a lot of anxiety with my job, was the fact of not, I think the term that was used on a previous show was self-actualizing the job, not saying that, you know, this is my computer, my desk, what have you. I make sure to use the correct verbiage even when I speak to a supervisor or anyone else, and like, you know, this is the work that they assigned me to do. This is their computer that I'm working on. So that has definitely taken away a lot of the stress that I feel. Another instance is when I was speaking to another coworker, because there's different facilities in different states, and there's a few facilities. There's a few different buildings in the state that I live in Ohio. It's all ran by the same company. And one building, I would say, is located or easier for non-whites to get to. So it's primarily non-white, even though most of the supervisors and upper management are white. And then in the other area, the building is definitely, I've always heard that the atmosphere, when I've heard people describing that building, if they had to come from that building to the one that I work at, they've always said, well, there was a different atmosphere at this other location. And it's mainly white or non-white, non-black people there. And there was I actually spoke with an associate who transferred from my location to the other primarily white location. And he says that, you know, all the restrictions that they put on the building that I work at is different from there. So like one of the things at the location that I work at, they say, you know, you can't listen to any music on a phone. If you do listen to music, it has to be on a device that can't record. But at the location that he moved to under the same company, you know, they don't really even care. Like he had said that it was a male, it was a non-white male. He had said that he was actually watching a movie on a mobile device, and like some upper management white man came over, and he was asking him questions about the movie, and you know, and just went about his day. There was no repercussions, and definitely not as strong as repercussions as it would have been had the the male still been working at the same facility. The last thing I wanted to point out, it was from a past job that I had, and it was just, you know, the sneakiness of white females. I was in a position that was a little bit higher up than the white female. Yeah, she was actually a sales rep, and I was an assistant, and she had ended up leaving or getting fired. I'm not quite sure what happened, but she wanted me to, she had reached out to me. We had hung out a few times outside of work, which I was definitely more confused at that time, and she had wanted me to get leads, still take some of the leads from the job and give them to her, and she said that she would pay me for however many sales that she can get out of those leads that I stole. I'm definitely glad that I didn't do that, because after, you know, learning about the procedures and actually paying more attention to it, you know, I definitely could have gotten into a lot of trouble, even possibly been prosecuted. So that's all I had to share. Thank you for listening.
Wow. Major. That's what I said. I think it's, even if it's not something that you call in to share with us, if you just take a moment to personally reflect on your work history, if you were more confused 5 years ago, 5 months ago, maybe, and you get, you know, better information about what white supremacy is, what it means to be white, I think there will be some significant moments that you look back on in your work history, just like, wow, I have a much better understanding of what, you know, what was happening at this time. And I mean, just that right there, that is a huge pattern. Whites asking black people that they work with to do majorly incorrect things, things that they know are in total violation of company policy, maybe even a criminal violation. We've had that come up repeatedly, even overseas, I think, when people have said this sort of thing has been happening. That's why I state again, you really got to make sure you know what the policy and procedure is, and anything that even sounds remotely like, this is something where I could end up getting in trouble, I'm going to have to check on that. I cannot commit to it. Let me check on it and I will get right back to you. And anybody that's on the up and up, no one should have a problem with that unless they are trying to do something underhanded to begin with. You saying, let me just make sure, let me check in, you know, with the supervisor or consult the company manual to make sure, you know, what my duties are and to make sure I'm in compliance with everything. Nobody should have a problem with that. You should be able to say that in front of every single employee from the CEO to the custodian. And that should be right on. Double check with the manual and, you know, we'll see what's over. Ask questions if you need clarification. I was able to get Stacy from the UK to get her to join with us as well. I think I first shared that with Chantel, the suggestion about not using possessive adjectives on the job, just because it was a similar situation. She was having stress about, you know, their furniture, I think, trying to get moved or something. Really, really important just having that correct, because that helps with your frame of mind. This is not my desk. It's not even my job. They could fire me like in the next 2 minutes. It's not my chair. It's not my computer. None of that really important for that computer to keep you from getting too comfortable. And it's just in general to keep you from getting comfortable and thinking that, oh, yeah, this is my spot. This is like I'm at home, because I feel like a lot of that happens where people, you get encouraged to be really comfortable on the job. They're like, you know, you're going to be here so much and that sort of thing. And we're talking about each other as though we're family. And so you have people that, you know, have their whole decoration around their desk and their office and all of that. And no, none of that is helpful for victims of racism. What I've seen is just that really warps your perspective. You end up getting way too comfortable and forgetting that you are in a cubicle right next to a race soldier. And it just allows for all kinds of bad things to happen. So I'm a big advocate of that. No possessive adjectives. This is their office, their chair, their job, like everything. I'm just here to do the jobs I have been assigned, and we'll be double checking to make sure that I'm compensated correctly. As mentioned, Stacy in the UK, again, my apologies for being tardy and ringing you in, should be with us now. Did you have commentary you wanted to share?
Hi, guys. Yeah, I'll come back to my points a bit later, if that's okay. But what I did find the audio from the meeting, sorry, from the episode with Sabrina, sorry, I've forgotten her surname, on Dr. Wilson.
Johnson.
Sabrina Johnson. I did find that really useful, actually, and I do have a meeting tomorrow and I will be applying a number of her techniques. But I did want to just comment on the last caller's point about, I think she was referencing her a colleague of hers who was watching a video in the office, and a senior manager had come over and was joining in discussion about the movie, and there was no comeback. I my advice would be to be really careful, because sometimes those managers can appear to be really, you know, engaged with you and seemingly accommodating of things or behaviours, or, you know, watching videos, things like that. And it's a strategy with them. And I think, you know, it may be the case that there is never any comeback from that situation, and that the person could be genuinely just interested in the film. Again, just like the point about self-actualization, I just wouldn't get comfortable, because I think that there will be, there is the potential for that to be used against you at some point in the future. And I've had, not exactly the same scenario, but situations where you think someone is, you know, being really friendly and supportive of you, and they will switch on you at some point in the future. So I would really discourage, and I'm not saying that I've not ever watched a movie or anything in the office, but I'm very careful. I don't do it in the open where someone can see me. And, you know, so I just be mindful, because what you think is a really friendly environment can switch at any point in the future. And I'll make my line.
Well said. Very well said. Great point to keep in mind. And that's something I would even keep in mind if, you know, when they encourage, like, going out for drinks and lunch and that sort of thing, that as well, where, you know, you get really comfortable and think it's cool, you can talk about whatever with this person, that sort of thing, any of that conversation, any dialogue that's shared there, or even behaviors, because people sometimes, when you're hanging out outside of work and drinking and doing whatever, sometimes even those behaviors can be brought up later in the office and used against you. So I would just keep all of that in mind. At no point should we be getting, you know, comfortable with these folks as though they are not racist. And even non-white people on the job, you still should, in my view, should not be getting too comfortable and thinking that, you know, these are like my family members. These are my siblings almost, because I spend so much time with them. No, these are your coworkers. And there should be a professional counter-racist way that we conduct ourselves. I think someone was even saying last week, just having that in mind, even with how I'm referenced and the way that I talk with these folks, even things that I talk about with these folks. Right on. With that said, any other folks who dialed in have commentary, feel free. Line should be open. Any of the other folks that we have not heard from at all, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. I am, this is Ken Steele, and I am, I guess, in a place called Dana Point. And I just wanted to say that regarding the, I guess, the comfort effect, or the desire on behalf of your employer for you to be comfortable on the job. I kind of refer to this as a simulated cool. In my particular workplace, we have a simulated cool environment. It's cool to play ping pong on the job. It's cool to play catch with footballs in the middle of the day. It's cool for some people, apparently, to wear joggers to work. Everybody is very peppy and very happy once they're looking at another person. These environments can be very stressful because they leave a lot of, I guess, leeway or room for what they call discretion on the part of the employer to determine what is not cool and what is not cool for certain individuals, even. So I don't know. One thing I've noticed is that a lot of employers are definitely going for this simulated cool environment. And I think it's an evolution from the original startup Google environment, where it was cool to have hammocks in the workplace, cool to have beer on tap, cool to have all of these amenities that made it seem as though you're in a second childhood, or you're still in the dorms or something like that. I just feel like this is an evolution of that environment. One thing that I wanted to report about my particular plantation is that tomorrow is May the 5th, and it falls on a Friday, and my workplace has decided that this is one of the biggest holidays to celebrate in the year. I did not know this, but in the last maybe 3 days, I've been made aware of all kinds of events taking place, all types of costume contests. You know, they're having a Three Amigos contest. And one thing that was interesting to me is I heard a few managers discussing this, and my immediate manager, he commented to the other two, you know, some of this feels kind of racist. And just as, you know, I hear that, I'm seeing in my email an ongoing conversation about where to get ponchos tomorrow. So everybody's getting ponchos and sombreros, and I don't know how to react to this. I'm not being included in any of the discussion. What is that? I think this is strategic. I think they know that I am aware of what racism is, and I am onto the system, that there is a system of white supremacy, and I'm a little less confused about that. And I don't know. I'm very nervous. It feels as though that people may be inebriated at my plantation tomorrow. And I was wondering if anybody else was experiencing a similar, event occurring at their workplace tomorrow, and if it was, it seemed to have just sprung up out of nowhere.
Wow. I don't know if people on the East Coast or other parts of the world, if Cinco de Mayo is a big thing. It's been a while since I've been on the East Coast. I know for myself personally, I was not around people who celebrated. That was not a big thing in my experience until I moved to the West Coast. Obviously, California, even up here in Washington State, it's a big thing. And all of the tackiness that you just described with the whites, this is their excuse to mock, quote-unquote, Mexicans or Latinos, to mock them. And sombreros and everything that you said, and the alcohol that goes with it, that more than anything becomes a big excuse to drink tequila and beers. That is a huge aspect of what I've seen. I haven't experienced it getting too out of control on my jobs, but I have just in the environment seen that getting big for the workplace. If it's going to be a lot of alcohol, if you think, you know, whites might be using this as an excuse to come in intoxicated and engage in a lot of racist shenanigans. I don't know if this would be a day to take off. Or if you can have a shorter day to maybe do, because it's going to be Friday. Like, that's just going to amplify the tackiness, I would suspect, it falling on a Friday and everything else. So might be a day to do maybe a half day or to call out completely. If you can work from home, come up with some other creative solutions, because it sounds like it's going to be really, really difficult beyond anything I've had to personally deal with in a workplace.
And you know what?
Hang on one second. Let me see if any of the Let me just see anybody else has anybody else had to deal with this where they've whites on your job have had to use Cinco de Mayo as an excuse to be tacky on the job. Any of the other folks? I'll take that as a no. Proceed, Mr. Steele. Did we have one? She was late. Did we have
one? I'm sorry. I was trying to get off mute. I'm sorry. But no, it's not as bad as far as the costume contest. But I know, like, any ridiculous holiday, it can even be Labor Day, they'll find a reason to put up, like, streamers or some type of decoration. Sometimes if we have meetings, somebody, like the head of the meeting, they might dress up in a certain way. But so far, there's no contest, or they might feel like it's a reason to, you know, if you do so much work, then we'll give you, like, you know, chips and salsa, or if it were like Cinco de Mayo or like for St. Patrick's Day, they might give you some type of green juice and something like that. So that's all I wanted to add. Thank you.
You know, St. Patrick's Day seemed a little more respectful than this. It just seemed that they were, you know, some green stuff going on, and there would be a special St. Patrick's Day lunch being served. But this is very over the top, you know, costume contest complete with cash prizes. These people are, they're sending emails with pictures that are just, to me, they look like they're getting more and more blatantly racist. The, I guess, so-called Latinos on my job, I think they are being pressured to express buy-in. A concept that's been described on my job. I think they are encouraged to comply because I don't know. They seem to be cool with this, or the ones that are participating in the email chains. Some of them I would suspect classify themselves as white. Maybe all of them do, but a few of them definitely don't look white. They're. Maybe it's because I'm from Chicago and I have not experienced this. This is very, very, very peculiar to me. And it just seems very foreboding. I don't know.
That's interesting, the contrast with what they call St. Patrick's Day and there being more tackiness associated with what they call Cinco de Mayo. Anytime, I think Halloween is another one. That's one I think I've, in my work environment anyway, where I've seen whites take more of a liberty to just be really tacky and racist. And it's like acceptable because they can just do it under the gun. Oh, it's just, we're having fun. And some of the type of thing. I think the alcohol as well in general, but I definitely, because Cinco de Mayo is supposed to be about alcohol, like, let's go get, you know, our tequila shots and all of that, I would really consider, you know, minimizing. I think some other people had work ideas of, I'm going to go, they have like a conference room or an area that maybe you can reserve so that you can minimize direct contact with racists. If you could do the half day thing, anything to minimize being in that environment. Because I suspect that you are correct. There's probably going to be some alcohol, and it'll just be a whole new low for racial tackiness in the workplace. That'd be my my bet. You can let us know how it goes if you end up going. If you use some counter-racist strategies to minimize all that, let us know how you mitigate things. Other folks who dialed in, who have a hand up that we have not heard from, I will again. This is not the weekly session to dial in and listen to different callers and Gus ramble about different difficulties on the job. This is about sharing ideas, strategies. Certainly, if you have figured out some things that are helpful on the job to minimize difficulties, share. If you're reflecting on your workplace experience and you recall some things that happened previously that you understand in a different perspective now, share. But this is not for spectators. We should be actively engaged in thinking about ways to solve problems with regards to labor and even economics. Folks that we have not heard from at all who have a hand up, line should be open. Feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Before I share, I wanted to add with Cinco de Mayo thing. The job that I've had where they celebrated off site of the plantation, I rarely found any Mexicans who even participated in it. So that was a warning sign for me there that, you know, I'm not going to go to that. So that's all I want to share with that. But I wanted to bring up some like a little workplace history that I had it was early in my I am a technology professional. I've been in the technology field for, you know, a number of years now. But I remember early in my career, there was a management position open at a job that I was at. And basically, me and this white man was competing for the job. So I was at the company for, at that time, I was at the company for about a good 4 years. The white guy was only at the company for about two. I had a degree in computer science. I had about three IT certifications. This white guy had no degree. He may have one IT certification. So basically, when it came down to it, I didn't get the job. He got the job. But I thought about it because I remember when he first came on to the team, I was young, but, you know, I remember kind of like teaching him, you know, things about, you know, the technology at the company and, you know, teaching him tidbits. And I realized that was probably the biggest mistake that I made. So we have to be careful about, you know, certain things that we kind of, you know, teach people on the job. Now, if it's something that's kind of basic that, you know, that won't come bite you at the end like it did me, then, you know, that's fine. But other than that, you know, I was, like I said, I was kind of young, didn't understand racism at the time. And it was a huge, at the time, it was a huge blow to my career. So something that I just wanted to bring out because I was thinking about it for like the last couple of weeks. I saw a coworker that I used to work with at the company, and we had talked about that because everybody was so shocked that I didn't get the job, but he got it. But I'm not too shocked now because I understood why he got the job. So I just wanted to bring that out. I'll be my line.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, everyone. Just briefly, with the state title in football, continuation of that, it seemed as though all of these white people and or non-black people, you know, excited and still over it and kind of like bragging through the athletes, which is 98% black, you know, kind of like bragging through them about the football team and whatnot, all black coaching staff. I'm talking about mainly the administrative staff, which is there's only one black person within the administration, and it's a black male. But they're, you know, running around with the principal runs around with a ring. The vice principals are going around with caps and different artifacts depicting the state title. But yet the people who did all of the work, primarily, like as I said, the coaching staff, black males, and the black males who actually did the work to accomplish it, doesn't have any of the things that comes along with it traditionally. Me, myself, you know, it doesn't really matter with me as far as, but it's a tradition with these, with rings. And I'm sitting there in an impromptu meeting with the athletic director, who's a white male, and they have the nerve to attempt to ask the athletes to raise money for their awards, which, I mean, even logically, doesn't make any sense at all, as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't logically make any sense. In other words, the teenagers, they have done everything and probably more than what they were asked to do to accomplish that feat. And matter of fact, there's at least two of them who are straight-A students, non-white black males, who are straight-A students. So they, I would tell them to go out and raise a penny for a ring, as far as I'm concerned. That's supposed to be done by the administrators and the staff, teachers, you know, those people who are at least either they are or they're pretending that they are proud of what these young people have achieved. And just interesting, you know, I brought it up to the athletic director since he sat down near me. There was a white female that was bouncing around with a cap on, but I have a tendency to not say anything to any one of them unless they say something to me. Found it, you know, interesting on that, you know, to asking them to raise money and, you know, and they did all the work in order for the thing to happen. And that's basically what I've observed this week. Thank you.
Wow. One of our listeners, he wrote in the share, he's called in before as well. He sent in a report. This is on CNN, where the president of the University of Louisville, this is in Kentucky, I think this is their flagship state university. The president, this is a white guy, James R. Ramsey. This is from 2015, so I'm not sure if he's still the head guy there. But in 2015, CNN reported that he and other staff members, I guess they had some sort of party, and they all dressed up wearing ponchos and sombreros and the little fake, like, handlebar mustaches that they have, like, it's supposed to be like the stereotypical, Mexican costume or what have you. And then they had the pilot, oh, we're so sorry, this, you know, is racist, and we're so sorry, we just didn't know we'll take racial sensitivity. Because this type of thing, I said, Halloween, Cinco de Mayo, I would expect similar behaviors. It's basically the same thing, an excuse for a lot of binge drinking, tacky activity, and some racism added in for good fun. Other folks have commentary that they wanted to add as well. Very common where whites, they will enjoy the spoils of some sort of accomplishment or what have you, but the black people that participated in making that thing happen, you know, they're just niggers, you know, whatever. That very, very common retired firefighter. Other folks that we have not heard from at all have commentary. Line should be open. Feel free.
Yes. How you doing, Gus, and how you doing to the callers? This is Truce. You calling out Pure Illinois. I called a while back about some episodes on the job dealing with racist men and racist women, and I just calling back in and seek some advice how to deal with them again. Today I had an episode where one of the workers I work in a different location, but they come to pick up, you know, parts, because I work at Advanced Auto Parts. It's an auto parts store. And we got different locations around the area where they come in to pick up parts from our hub store. That's the main store. And this particular gentleman comes in, and I'm on the computer, and he's standing behind me. And he puts his hands on my shoulder. It completely rubs me the wrong way. I asked the white man, I was like, can you please get behind me, man? I feel like you're groping me. Like, why are you touching me? He was like, oh, this is what we did back in the day. I said, back in the day? What do you mean about back in the day? We don't do that no more around here. He was like, oh, well, you know, I was just playing. I said, no, man, I don't play like that. Why are you behind me when I'm on a computer with your hands on my shoulders? I tend to notice they always want to touch you, like, and if you rub me the wrong way. And when I'm interacting with customers a lot of times, and I don't quite have the answer to the question on things, it's like, they make it seem like I don't know what I'm doing or whatnot, and I just didn't know the answer to the question because it was a question I wasn't familiar with. And when I go ask them about a question I'm familiar with, they look at me like, well, you know, you're supposed to know. I said, well, I didn't know this. I mean, you know, I wasn't trained on that, so what are you talking about? So I just want to learn how to really strengthen my words when I get in a situation with them where they try to pretend like, you know, I'm just the dumb black guy on the job. I don't know what's going on. And they know everything was going on. And I watched them make tons of mistakes 24/7. They get away with murder, like, especially the young white males that work there. They be talking to the white boss dude, like, any type of way. They call anytime they feel like it. They have no regard for the rules at the job. I just be looking like, this is white people. This is what they do. And me really being the only really black male there. The other black male, he pretty much drives the parts to drop off different locations. I really don't see him like that. So pretty much I'd be in the store just right by myself. And I'd be having days sometimes, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I get overwhelmed sometimes because it seems like they all be smothering me and whatnot. So I'm trying to find a way to strengthen my words and kind of, you know, resolve kind of how they come at me and things of that nature. I don't know if I'm making sense to anybody. That's why I'm calling in to get some advice on that because, a lot of times, they have no regard for a lot of things you tell them. So, I'm trying to figure out a way to resolve that when I'm interacting with them. And customers, too, they come in very, you know, mainly white customers because mainly it's a white area where it's located at. So, they come in very racist, all get out. And sometimes, I do find myself getting a little frustrated. Interactions with, I would say morally the overt ones. I know they're real overt with the words. And I know it's racist what they're saying, the words they're using. But, you know, I'm just trying to maintain some sanity without, you know, losing my mind when I'm interacting with racist man and racist woman. Because I know a lot of times it's racist what they be saying, how they react, how they be talking to me. And they always think I be lying about what I be saying. Like, they don't believe nothing I say. Like, when I say something's wrong, oh, that can't be right. Are you sure? It's like they don't take your word for anything on a lot of situations. So that's been my experience on the job for a while. And also they offered me to the supervisor position on the job because the white woman left. And also I want to know if I should take the job offer or try to stay in my position. I mean, I'm just a regular salesperson. That's really all I had.
Unless, you know, you know some information that we don't, if they're offering a supervisory position, if it's going to be more coins and you know, a better position for you, unless, I mean, it's gonna be crazy hours or you're gonna have to move to Siberia or some other things that would be a problem for you, you know, I would say take it. Now I would not take it thinking that, you know, this is gonna mean the end of racism for you.
or that, you know, this is great, that this means you're moving right on up the fast track. And I wouldn't think that at all. And that they might, you know, right, just want you to get that position so that you can yell and fuss at other black people, because that's what happens a lot of times with these promotions. But if they don't give it to you, they'll just find another non-white person to give it to, or find a white person to give it to. I'm always of the opinion, I heard people talk bad about President Obama for the last 8 years. If they ever say, Gus, do you want to be president? Yes. If I'm going to be a victim of racism, I would rather have the most comfortable spot I can get as we go to, you know, go about solving this problem. And you all can talk bad about me for 4 or 8 years, but I would take it unless, you know, there's some information that you know that we do not, which certainly could be the case. With the touching thing, we talked about that a lot. I think exactly what you said, in my view, that is great. I think it should be verbalized immediately and every time, consistently. Any unwanted touching, if it's a hand on the shoulder, I don't care if we've been doing this for, you don't have to say it like that, but, you know, if we've been doing this for 50 years, or you do this with everybody else, and, you know, nobody else has a problem with this, I am not comfortable with that. You know, could you please not do it? However you want to say it, whatever your temperament is, for yourself, sir, or listeners, whatever verbiage you're comfortable with, just as long as it gets said unambiguously, this is not acceptable. Please do not touch me, whatever the form of touching is. And, you know, any of the rebuttals, it sounds like you did a great job with that. I would just continue. And again, I would use the news, the stuff that's happening right now. Aren't all these people having to leave Fox because of sexual harassment and unwanted touching? Aren't we having these lawsuits every day? I would just prefer to avoid all that. We can be business, we can be cordial, but let's everybody keep our hands to ourselves. They've been saying that since kindergarten. I think that's a great policy to abide by here in the workplace. I don't think anybody should have, you know, beef with that. It should not be a part, unless that's in the policy and procedure. We got to have hugs or do some sort of fondling as a part of the corporate strategy. The second, I guess, situation in terms of the white people, I guess your coworkers and customers, maybe even coming in and being racist and nasty, and they just assume you don't know what you're talking about. You're just some dumb nigger that they hired. You should expect that. All of us, we should expect that. That's what racism, white supremacy means. And in those instances, I think number one, understanding that they want to say and do these things to get us upset, to get us angry, get us flustered, maybe even get us to lose our job. White people are, man, that is one of their go-to strategies. Let me see if I can get this nigger angry. And we'll really get him. We'll get him, and we can call the police or what have you. It's customers. We can do that. We can come in and do this. Oh, nigga, you don't know what you're talking about. Get me somebody up here who knows how to do the job. You don't even know this. To do that sort of thing, you get angry, I can get this nigga fired. Maybe I can get him mad enough that he'll curse at me or yell or something like that. We should know what's going to happen. There ends up being some sort of dispute or what have you, where you get angry with the customer. They're going to say it was your fault. You're going to be fired. We just can't have you talking to customers. That's way. That's our lifeline. And sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. That's what it's going to be. Again, Mr. Fuller, he said white people, he felt, were going to be doing a lot more of that, because it seemed like he was hearing a lot of that from people calling him, just saying things, doing things to get you upset. So I would say expect it. Don't get bothered by it. I would have a code in place when you feel yourself starting to get angry, like it's bothering you, where you can have a code. If that's, you know, excuse me for a minute, can I just run to the restroom really quick, where you can do some meditation, where you can just get yourself calm. Drink water is very good for that, lowering your heart rate, kind of getting yourself calm. Do some deep breathing exercises. Just if you can get 10 minutes in the restroom by yourself to just kind of gather yourself, recompose, and then go out. But I think a lot of that, just having that in mind, that I'm working with racists. These folks are probably calling me nigga all day long anyway, so I understand that. I'm not upset about it. Let's just go about the business. I understand what you think about me, and we're just going about our business. I'm behind enemy lines. That's what all of this means. Training, I guess, with some of it, I would also say, because a major pattern is racist incorrectly training black people, or inadequately training black people, or not training black people at all. If it does seem like they know a lot of things and you are poorly informed, if there is training, I would request additional training. to say, hey, it seems like there might be some information that I don't have. I just want to make sure that I'm able to efficiently contribute to this great company here. Is it possible that I could get, you know, some training just to make sure that I got all the pertinent information in these particular, if they had that, or if there's any other information that they can give you just to be more efficient. But that's something, I mean, that's just indicative of the system of white supremacy. White people, they're not ignorant. They're very informed, and they do a great job of keeping information from us. So that's one. And I would ask questions. That's one thing that I've said, too. When they say that we're being standoffish or aloof, talk, but make sure you're asking questions so that you can close that gap in terms of what they know and what you know. I would be asking lots of questions where you can get details about the job. We can sit it up. Hey, how you spring? It's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. So what about, you know, this new project that's coming in? Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, that's great. Oh, okay. And any new information with that? Okay, great. You can just ask questions and go right down the line. You're learning. We're talking. We're building a rapport, as they say. That's those are probably some of the strategies I would take in terms of the three issues that you raised. Did any of the other folks listening in, did you all have any suggestions for any of the issues, three issues that he kind of raised? The unwanted touching, the customers and coworkers being racist and rude, saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, that sort of thing. White people being very informed on the job, and then possible promotion. Did you all have any suggestions? Heard several folks. I guess we'll start with retired firefighter.
I'll just say quickly, he was saying that sometimes he don't know what to say, which is not unusual at all. First of all, don't feel unusual about it. But one thing that's ideal about employment, it is very monotonous. It's very monotony. The same things happen over and over and over again. That's part of most jobs, the daily routine. And once you figure it out, then you can start, you know, just writing down, taking notes, writing down things on how you will react to it, what you would say. Eventually, the time you'll figure it out, because jobs are very monotonous. I can't pronounce the word correctly, but I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, thank you. All you fighter, I understand. Thank you for the information.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The other, I heard several folks. There's another male caller that spoke up. Yes. Did you have suggestions?
Yeah, this is Ken Steele, and you listen to the compensatory concept, Neely Fuller himself gives a lot of good rhetorical devices to use when dealing with suspected racists, especially with suspected racists on the job. Most of his rhetorical devices that he suggests to use employ the use of questions. Also, if you purchase the word guide, book that comes with the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept, there are specific scenarios that are outlined throughout that book that give you tools to use when dealing with racist suspects in a whole host of different situations. So I suggest listening to that program, listening to some of the archives programs, re-listening to some of the YouTubes, even just typing in Neely Fuller Jr. in YouTube and just re-listening to some of the videos with big view counts, and listening to some of the Kyle's broadcasts that he's been on. He gives a large number of tools to use when dealing with suspected racists in a whole host of different situations. And again, they're focused on questions. So try to remain in the question mode. Do not get in the business of making statements to these people, because oftentimes they will take those statements and then they will use those against you. But questions, those can be very powerful.
Okay. Appreciate it. If I can add to Gus, they did say the pay rate will go up if I take the position or whatnot. And also, the white woman that left to get another job, before she left, she made it a living hell for me. She was bad. She would purposely not do things on the job that she was supposed to do because she knew she was leaving. And, you know, I got to do my job, so I do my job. But I was watching, she was purposely not putting stuff up, not checking stuff in. She was talking about, oh, I'm leaving in 2 days, and this, way and the other, you know. And I'm just looking at her like, all right. You know, I really didn't know what to say to her because I was a little frustrated because I knew what she was pulling, what she was doing. And, you know, I do remember Mr. Fuller saying, no matter what, you are the weakest on the job. I believe it was Mr. Fuller, I think, that said that. And so I just tried my best to do my job. But I'm glad she left because she was a younger white female in her late 20s, and she was, man, she was crazy with her racism. She drove me up the wall, so I had to stay away from her. But I'm glad she's gone. Yeah, I just want to point that out there.
White women are dangerous. I will say, because I think that had came up as well, a white person on the job causing you some issues or what have you, and then them coming to say that this person is no longer with the company or no longer here, like, exactly. That's nothing to celebrate or, oh, I am getting a little bit of an echo here. No speakerphone, please. If you dial in, no speakerphone, just adds distortion to the line. But I, excuse me, I will say, those situations on the job, that speakerphone disrupted my train of thought, having me echo. Those white women on the job, or any person, if they get fired, if it was someone who was causing you some trouble, causing some drama, that's nothing to celebrate, I think, as was stated, because exactly, they can come and decide that she is no longer with the company, and this is going to be your last day as well. That could be the exact way that they inform you. So,
Oh, yeah,
it's nothing to celebrate, nothing to jump up and down about. They'll probably replace that person with someone, you know, 20 times worse. Did we have any other folks that dialed in have suggestions for this caller before we move forward? Any other folks dialed in have suggestions?
Hi, Gus.
Yes, ma'am. This is Stacey in the UK.
Hi. Yeah, I was just two things. Firstly, if you've been offered a promotion, I would.
Yes, ma'am.
I would ask what training is going to be provided with that role, because it seems, and this is not to question the justification for you being offered that position and your ability, but if there are areas you're unsure about in the role now, then this being promoted may mean that those duties are no longer yours, but either way, right, it would just be useful regardless. If you're going to be supervising people who are going to be carrying out those duties, then you should have a thorough understanding of the requirements and how your department should run, and the people that you're working with should be undertaking their role. So I wouldn't necessarily raise it in the context of the issues that have been raised about your knowledge in your current role, but just in terms of you moving into this new job. And, you know, just wanted to make sure that everything, you are familiar with every requirement of the role and the new duties that you're going to have. The other point I was going to make is, you know, and it goes back to this point about not feeling confident about how to respond to some of the things that are said to you. You know, I think we all go through this, where these organizations and the people that you encounter on the job, you know, they're naturally, or rather, you know, in their racist behaviors, have a way of making us feel less confident in our ability, and we then continuously internalize that. You know, I'm sure you were able to function in life before you got to that job and were able to communicate quite effectively with people outside of that job. It's just the racism that you're encountering. It's nothing to do with your ability. And I think the challenge for all of us is not to internalize some of the ongoing attacks that we face, and you know, just not letting it destroy your confidence in yourself. You are, I don't know what age you are, but I'm sure you've lived on this earth for at least more than two decades, so we've managed to get by being able to communicate effectively. I don't think there is anything lacking. I think this is just about the racism that you're encountering, and that's nothing to do with your ability to communicate or carry out the job. And so the last thing I was going to say actually is white people observe us on a regular basis in jobs. So if there are areas that you are unsure about, sometimes it's just about observing them as well. I think one of the things that was said before was that there is a monotonous element to any job. If there are things that you're not sure about and people are not necessarily going to be forthcoming with you and provide you with information, nothing stops you from observing them and not even letting them know that you're observing them and how they carry out those particular functions. So those are my comments, and hopefully they're useful to you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm in my late 20s, by the way. So, yeah, it's been a long road dealing with white folk. Oh, man, it's been a long road.
Amen.
I appreciate the information from everybody, too, man. I really do, because, oh, my God, sometimes I just am like, what is going on with these people? Why are they where they are? But it is what it is.
For sure.
Thank you.
Unless we had other suggestions, other folks who dialed in that we have not heard from, if you have commentary, your line should be open. Feel free.
Yes, may I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good evening, listeners. Earlier this week, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I was speaking with my white female supervisor earlier this week. We were going over my schedule about days that I need to take off, days that I could possibly come in early. As I was speaking to my white female supervisor, there's also a Hispanic male who I work with, and he identifies himself as white. Well, as I was speaking to my supervisor, I told her there's one particular day that I may come in early and I'll work through my lunch. So the Hispanic male turned and told me, yeah, why don't you just come on in? And when you do come in, you can scrub my floors. And I looked at my white female supervisor. She said absolutely nothing. Mm. I'm not a janitor. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that type of work. I work in an office, so I don't understand why he felt the need to tell me that I could come in and scrub his floors. And my supervisor did nothing about this. She didn't confront him. She didn't say, well, why did you say that to her? She just laughed, and he also laughed as well. And mind you, this man that I work with, he's Hispanic. He doesn't identify himself as Hispanic. He's married to a white female. So in his mind, he thinks that he's white and that he can talk to employees any way he wants to. And I just felt that that was very disrespectful the way he talked to me and told me that. I didn't find anything funny about it. It wasn't a joking matter to tell me that I could come in and scrub his floor. And I just want to get an idea of what you thought about that, you and the Kyle's listeners.
I would say, well, thank you for calling. I would say that, again, this is the system of white supremacy, these type of remarks. This is how they think of us, the help. This is a plantation, and that's what we're there for, to pick the cotton, scrub the floors. That's how they think of non-white people. I would say, number one, I would not be surprised that your white female supervisor, that she didn't call out this inappropriate behavior, and you know we don't tolerate that type of language. And you talking to one of our employees that way, I would not be surprised. Or yeah, you shouldn't be surprised that she did not say anything. I wouldn't expect any white person to, I guess, speak in behalf or in support of a victim of white supremacy at any time, whether it was on the job or not. I would say in those sort of instances, I would document what happens, because I seriously doubt, like, if you go to a supervisor or the president or what have you, if it's a white person, this white woman, your supervisor, if you go to these individuals, I seriously doubt that they're going to do anything. Like, it's been my experience that they do not reprimand the person for saying that. At maximum, it might be, you know, we apologize that you were offended. It'll be something even more tacky. Like, we apologize that, you know, you took offense, that you're so sensitive, that you took offense to that little joke or what have you, and we'll try to be more careful of your feelings and, you know, move forward with the day. So I would document that happened. I would keep that in mind when dealing with this individual in the future. Like, okay, this is someone that I know has already shown they have the tendencies of a race soldier, so I'm going to conduct myself appropriately with them. On the same thing for your white supervisor, her not defending you. Okay, I'm going to keep that in mind. That lets me know that I should not expect a whole lot of support from her for things that are impacting me, to make sure that my situation is better or to make sure I'm not being mistreated. She's probably not going to be very helpful. That would be my assessment. Other folks, do you all have commentary? The situation, this person saying you could come in early and scrub the floors?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes. My question is, this is not part of the job, is it?
Absolutely not. I'm an instructor at a school. So my job is to teach students, not to come in and scrub anyone's floors.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would ask the gentleman, like, as far as I know of, sir, it's not part of my job, so what do you mean by me doing this? You know, what's going on? What's this about? And really ask him, like, are you, you know, personally, are you trying to be funny or something like that? I don't know if that's something you, you know, you can say to him or comfortable saying, you know, just ask him. But it's not in my job description. Like, no, sir. So I don't feel comfortable doing that, and I'm not going to do it. I mean, I don't think, you know, there should be no backlash, and especially that's something you're not supposed to be doing. That's no.
Right.
I would say, hey, no, this is not in my job description, sir. I will not be doing that. And if your wife's advisor lady have a problem with it, well, hey, I'm sorry. It's not in my job description. Me scrubbing somebody's floors. No, sir. No.
And you know what's so ironic about the entire situation? The supervisor is actually married to a non-white female.
Huh? Wow.
Cowbell.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'll just stay in the question lane. That's my comp. Stay in the question lane and take notes like Gus said, document this stuff and stay in the question lane and observe them, watch them. Maybe you have to fall back from your white supervisor, check her out more, observe her more. Really, you know, and see what she really on, what she's about. You know, I don't know, because that is deep. And she just sat back and just said nothing. I mean, that's to be expected. Yeah, that happened to me on the job. Like, so I can understand you're coming from where something happened to me, they said nothing about it, so I can't trust them. I would never trust them, so I just, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
The caller had mentioned that the other thing about, I don't know if you used the word surprise, so ma'am, correct me if I'm wrong, that the white woman was married to a non-black, a non-white. Okay, got you. That was when I was more confused. That was one thing to where I couldn't understand, but sometimes those are the people that you really need to be watchful for, and they practice racism. Well, they're already practicing racism because they're in an inappropriate or incorrect relationship, but I would expect that her behavior is going to continue to be like that, and I just wouldn't be surprised at it at all. And I'll give you even another prime example. I have a lady that I used to work with as an agent, and I see her once in a while, and I saw her today, and she started making small talk, and I knew in the back of my mind, I said, something tells me, I think that she's got a kid that is in a quote-unquote biracial relationship. And so I just mentioned to this white woman, I see her all the time, she's walking down the street, I was like, don't you have a grandkid? And she was like, yeah. I said, oh, how's that going? And the first thing she mentioned was a non-black male doing a bad job as a father. So even in those incorrect relationships, they're still practicing racism, and I suspect that your supervisor's probably doing the same thing. That's all I had. And I was more confused. I used to be surprised at it too, but not anymore. So I just wanted to add that. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That should not be a symbol to relax, if anything. That should be have heightened suspicion, heightened alertness around these individuals, because that is a maximum act of racist aggression, these tragic arrangements. Any other folks, did you all have suggestions for the female caller? She was, told maybe jokingly, you can come in and scrub the floors. Anyone, any other suggestions or commentary for this female caller?
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay. I would suggest in those situations, if you're an instructor in a school, I suspect that you communicate with email. Is this correct?
Correct.
Okay. So one thing that I would do, and one thing that I practice regularly, is if comments like that are made and I want to document it, I will go ahead and write in an email. Yesterday at approximately 3:05, you asked me, hey, should I come in and scrub those the floor? I wanted to know, is that part of the job description? Because I missed that. Or, you know, just ask a question in the form of mention the act and then ask the question and put that in an email and send it to the other person. That way, hey, it's logged. If they respond, then they affirm that it did in fact take place, and they oftentimes don't expect them. They don't expect to be put in that scenario where they are basically affirming that they are acting in a very incorrect manner on the job. So I would suggest documenting it like that and asking questions. And that's not okay.
Okay. Should I copy that to the person that's over the schools as well?
I would, there's a blind CC, blind carbon copy. So if you are going to do it that way so that the person that you're communicating with doesn't know that you are communicating with a higher party, but I would gather your evidence and have everything ready to present a higher authority at a later time. And that way you can mitigate for any sort of unforeseen difficulties that may come about in your procurement of that evidence, because he could just say, hey, this woman is baiting me. Why would you even, say this or something like that? Or, I didn't say that. Or, it could just be an outright denial that you get. So really what you want to do is you want to have just a documentation of the fact that this did happen and that this did take place. By asking that person about, if this is in your job description, or asking, what supplies do I use? Something like that. Then you can go ahead and, establish that, yeah, this person told you to quote, and in your email, you can quote them, say, scrub the floors, and you can document how incorrect that is. And then you can get them to affirm that, yeah, they did in fact say this, and then you can get them to even go deeper and deeper and deeper into this line of questioning that allows you to reveal them as a racist.
For sure.
I have a few suggestions.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. just like the last caller says, record it. It is a possibility it can take place again. It depends on, because I wasn't there, it depends on what the white person's observation was of you, whether or not, you know, you had what type of facial expression you may have had. That may either encourage them or discourage them from saying something like that to you again. I don't think you showed anything that
if you as their dad know that these guys are going to take advantage of you, then why not?
Let's see.
I was hearing somebody else. I just stopped.
Okay, sorry about that, retired firefighter.
Oh, okay. I can continue.
Yes, sir. I think someone else's line. They were talking or background noise or whatever it was. But yes.
Oh,
sir,
that's okay. That's what it is. Oh, okay, I understand now. Yeah. I don't think they were. I don't think you had a facial expression that or any activity at all that would give them the idea to encourage them. White people are very keen. They're very keen on that. In most cases. By just ignoring it, and or you know you can put something in a term of a question. Is that standard procedure for an instructor to mop people's floors, you know, in front of them, you know, ask that question and see what kind of answer you would get? Because basically they would be intellectually kind of like digging a hole for themselves if they answered in any kind of way, just about answering that question. Because if they say if one says yes, you know, there's a rebuttal to that, and if they say no, of course there's a rebuttal to that also. And if they say no, well, say, well, don't ask me that again, you know, and walk off, you know, as far as they're concerned. But I would say gird yourself on not being surprised under the global system of racism, white supremacy, on anything a white person says or does, anything. And I'm not just talking about this people activity of employment. In all nine areas of activity, non-white people should not be surprised about any type of activity, whether verbal or physical expression that white people do. They're very keen at being very nice. They're experts at being very nice to, especially non-white people. They know exactly what buttons to push to make us smile, to make us carry on with them in needless conversation, you know, to get us to talk, all of that. And so therefore it demands that we practice counter measures with them. One of them is to, like I said before, not be surprised of what they may say or do. I truly understand. I can almost feel how you felt that it was very insulting, that sort of thing. But that's what white people do. That's the best I can tell you. You know, straight to the point. That's what white people do. Then the next day, that same white woman will come around to you and be nice as though nothing ever happened. You know, and those just some of the ideas that I had in mind when you were vividly expressing what took place. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Context of white supremacy. Again, Thursday's Workplace Racism. We have roughly an hour left in the program, unless folks run out of commentary to share. If you would like to dial in, the number 641-715-3640, the code 564-943-pound. Press *6 if you would like to participate. And just to the female caller who just joined us,
I know I spoke with Mr. Fuller about those sort of things, as retired firefighter was saying. That's so common that's, you know, it's typical to be expected. What else is new? Racist saying those type of things, doing those type of things, and probably be more where that came from. I have heard Mr. Fuller say sometimes a strategy can be to document that happened. If you use Mr. Steele's suggestion, you do the email that, you know, this happened, such and such, is that in my job description? And then you can have electronic documentation that this happened. And then you can wait and use all of that together, because there's going to be more things that take place, whether it's other comments that are said by the same person or just other things. He said one strategy you can use is to just document all of these different incidents, and then you can bring everything at once. Like, it's been a record over the past, you know, 2-3 years of all these different things that can be a way to use this sort of information as well.
Yeah, you want a preponderance of information, a preponderance of, and you want to be able to show patterns of behavior. That is evidence.
Can I say one more thing? You know, under the system of racist white supremacy, white people have contaminated the workplace in such a stench that even in that atmosphere, I have witnessed a non-white black person that would come in and basically express something incorrect to another black person with the idea of mind, because a lot of times in this uneasy environment, non-white people and their attempt to relax some of the tension, they will become Comedy Central. Non-white black people in order to lower the tension. I hope everybody's understanding what I'm saying, because I've seen it. They'll come out and put on a show for the white people on the job, and they will use their means to quote unquote joke, like Mr. Fuller said, workplace insults on other black people, while the white people just have a good time, you know, viewing this live Comedy Central atmosphere out of these black people, you know, doing that. So these are the typical things that take place in the workplace, that in, like I said, environment has been totally contaminated by the global system of racism, white supremacy, and a large part is out of order. Thank you.
Absolutely. Do we have other folks who dialed in with a hand up that we have not heard from? Do we have other people who dialed in, have a hand up that we have not heard from at all?
Good evening to everyone. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to chime in. I haven't spoke on any workplace racism, because I was in a transition period from a prior job to the job I have now. And this isn't the most, I guess, biggest example of workplace racism, but I just knew whenever you go to a new workplace, you're going to experience something. So I was just waiting on the first incident. But there's a young white female. I don't even think she's in her maybe under 20 or 20 or 21, something like that. But she's I'm training on the computer, and I'm not really interacting with other people. I'm just doing the training, trying to complete my stuff. And she comes up in the space where I'm at, and there's a couple other non-white people. I think one white male is there as well. So she starts commenting about her tanning, how it's so difficult for her to tan, and she's like the whitest of white girls, and how her lips are so thin, and, you know, because she's such a authentic, true white girl. And, you know, I'm just listening, whatever, I'm not commenting at all. So, so a little bit later that day, I'm in another room on the computer completing some online training, and she's talking to a non-white black male, and she's playing some music pretty loud in her, you know, her little room that she works out of, and she's playing some hip hop, and it's some, you know, Kendrick Lamar. And so she goes and talks to this black male. She says, hey, have you heard the new Kendrick Lamar? It's so good. Oh, my God, I love it. And he's like, no, I haven't heard it or whatever. And then she's like, yeah, I really, really like him so much. Him and J. Cole, I mean, they're like the best MCs ever. And, you know, I'm in the other, you know, other room. I'm disgusted. But, you know, I'm just, I don't comment, but it's just, you know, I'm disgusted, and it's kind of humorous at the same time. So she's talking about how great these two, how she listens to hip hop all the time. She listens to it more than her black friends or whatever. She's, you know, she listens to more of it than her black friends. And again, I'm getting more and more disgusted. And then she says, J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar, they're so much better than Jay-Z. And, you know, the black male's like, yeah, you're, you know, I don't think so. He didn't agree with her. And they're kind of going back and forth debating on that or whatever. And then she, of course, she invades my space. And she comes into my room and says, you know, Mr., you know, she addresses me. Who do you think is better, you know, J. Cole and Kendrick Lamar or Jay-Z? And I wasn't codified. I allowed myself to be drugged into this racist, her little dialogue and her little game. So, you know, I told her my opinion, which was contrary to what she thought. And I found myself actually explaining stuff to her. And I just knew that I just got drugged into her racist, you know, dialogue, whatever. Anyway, and then she goes on to say, she's just talking about hip hop and how much she's into hip hop or whatever. And then she says, she brings up something about like movie stars and other stuff. And then she says, a lot of these, stars, they're very beautiful with makeup and all this plastic surgery, but they're horrendous. They're ugly, very, very ugly without all that stuff. They got money, so that's why they look so good. And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe. And then she says, she gives examples. And of course, the examples that she gives are black females. She's like, oh, Michelle Obama is, oh my God, look at her. She's ugly. And then she says, Rihanna. And then she says, Nicki Minaj as well, just how ugly they are without all this, you know, plastic surgery and all these enhancements and makeup and stuff. And I just found that was very racist. I mean, everything she was saying was racist, but it was just funny. Like, of course, the black females are the examples of how they're ugly without all this, these enhancements. And they're made to look, you know, okay with these enhancements. And, I suspect that this young white female is going to be practicing racism for the duration. Oh, she will be for the duration of my my stay there at this workplace. And she's very, very, she's actually, this makes me very suspicious with white people when they're overly courteous and overly, you know, they really, you know, say thank you and, oh, have a great day. And those people, I find I tend to find them to be, they're codified with their racism, but I think they practice it just as, maybe even more than someone that's, I guess, would be a little more standoffish or something. But she's one of these overly courteous, oh, how was your day? And, oh, great. And I don't know, that really, you know, makes me suspicious, but that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Wow. I would, I am hearing a little echo in the background again, no, speakerphone. If you're on the, okay, I don't hear now. She just sounds very dangerous to me. Any white person, and I've talked about, in my view, white women are particularly adept at this, getting non-white people to lower their suspicions, even, you know, for a short period of time, to engage in conversations that we normally wouldn't, that sort of thing. They're tremendous with it. Well, I think where I shared a couple of weeks ago, even though this was in a workplace, where one of my race soldier neighbors, she has a non-white child, and that was, you know, her route to get me and other non-white people to chat with her. But white women in particular, they're great at that. I would say just be really mindful in the job when there are white people. Racists, Mr. Fuller's talked about this, where racists, they can be nice, quote unquote. They can be very friendly, very courteous, very funny, very charming. They're still racist. I would say on the jobs, be careful of white people who come up and they appear nice and, you know, they're trying to get you to chat it up and talk. It has nothing to do with workplace duties. Be very suspicious of that. Number one, white people are great at wasting our time. We really have to be mindful about that because they love to just come up and waste time and talk and talk and talk about nothing. Two, white people, when they can get you to lower suspicions, particularly this white woman, we don't know if she's trying to do some sort of sexual aggression. We don't know if she's trying to do some sort of spy, go around and check on all the niggers, see how informed they are and report back to the higher ups. Who knows? Like, I would want to send a message verbally or non-verbally. Don't come talk to me with that nonsense. Like, don't ever think you can come into my area and, yes, join our conversation about, you know, which cereal is better. And no, like, that's when I've said before, like, get a reputation on the job for he is not into that at all. We already know not to go in his direction. I think that's the best way to function. I think you said you felt like, you know, that was, you shouldn't have done what your normal code states in getting involved in her racist trap. I think that's good too, to, for all of us, when we can recognize, like, dang, she got me on that one. I'm gonna do a better job next time. I'll know what to do, what to say to avoid that. But she just sounds very, very dangerous, especially if she's going around and chatting it up with all the black people on the job. Man, super, super dangerous, because I suspect no one other than yourself suspects that she's a racist.
And Gus, may I add, I believe it's what you just mentioned. I think, you know, like white people do generally, is they're testing you just to see, again, how informed you are, just so they can modify their racism and practice it accordingly. But I definitely think that was it. And could it be sexual? I'm quite possibly, but definitely I have to figure out how to avoid her, and maybe I have to give her that. We discussed this many times. I don't want to be this, you're not part of the team, and, you know, you're standoffish. But at the same time, I have to find a way to really convey that message to her. But again, thank you.
Absolutely. Other folks that we have not heard from, if you had suggestions, commentary, feel free. Line should be open. Folks that we've missed completely, have commentary. Any folks that we missed completely have commentary, or did we get everybody so far? Okay, I'll assume folks are good. Stacy in the UK, did you want to share now? You have hung in so great with us. 3 a.m. your side, I think, or it might even be a little bit later now. Did you want to share?
It's 3 o'clock. Yeah, hi, Gus. Hi to everyone. I didn't say hello. Yeah, there are a couple of things I wanted to... one, to update on the situation that's arisen from this young race soldier who lodged a complaint, who then raised a complaint with his manager that didn't want to formalise it. I mentioned last week that it now appears his manager has concerns, in inverted commas, and has asked for a three-way meeting with my manager and myself so that she can express her concerns. That meeting is taking place tomorrow. So what I did today is I spoke to an employment lawyer, and this is part of an employee assistance service that we have. It's a confidential service, just to get some advice on the overall situation. It was probably an hour's call, so it was very difficult to talk about everything that's going on. But what it did do is help me to determine my approach tomorrow. And as has been advised on the cows, I will be staying in the question mode and using it as an evidence gathering session. But it also made me realize that just how codified you need to be in these situations, because it's almost, you know, when I explained the meeting to the lawyer, she said, well, her first response was, well, it seems reasonable what they're requesting, because it's a business. And I think it goes back to the earlier point about self-actualization. You know, when issues arise, it's reasonable and the responsible thing for them to do to try and resolve matters. And the easiest way to do that is to bring people together. And as I explained to her, on the surface, that's fine. But the underlying assumption is that actually what's being raised is factual. And, you know, that if you look at it in isolation, then it probably does sound very reasonable. But actually, you know, the wider context is quite different. Now, again, what that helped me to think about is that, you know, I am going to have to raise this as a formal grievance, although I'm trying to work out ways that I don't use the word grievance. It's just, to put this, for me to put it in its wider context and know how I will need to strategize going forward. And I also just want to make sure that I'm managing it so that I'm not playing into the agenda of putting two black females in conflict with each other. So I will update on that meeting the next time I call into the program. There are a couple of other points I just wanted to raise, incidents I wanted to raise, and I'll try and run through them very quickly. I had applied for a job internally probably about a month ago now, and it's a more senior role. It's working as a special advisor to one of the senior managers. And I had no doubt, given that two of the people involved in the shortlisting were not going to shortlist me for the role regardless. Now, what I did do is request feedback. And I was very specific that I wanted feedback in writing, because I'm not interested in having a waffly conversation. And if everything is done and it's being done correctly, then there should be no reason why the organisation shouldn't be able to give me feedback in writing. Plus, they allegedly have a policy of wanting to grow talent from within and give people opportunities to develop, which seems to work very well for white staff. But they seem to have challenges when it comes to black and minority ethnic people in the organisation, and specifically black. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been to and fro with HR, asking for feedback. And one of the people on the panel was actually the director of HR. So eventually I wrote back to them and said, look, you know, I've been asking for feedback for quite some time, and it's literally a month, you know, and given that, as I said, they allegedly have this strategy for growing talent within, and I understand that there is about to be another program to develop specifically black and minority ethnic managers in the organization. Again, I can see no reason why they shouldn't want to give me in-depth feedback. And so I was sent an email after chasing for a couple of times, and this is over a period of weeks, saying, you know, can I have feedback? And then eventually one of the HR officers emailed me and said, the director of HR is willing to have a face-to-face meeting with me. So I emailed him back and said, actually asked for written feedback. Her PA then responded and said, this person is happy to have a meeting with me let's arrange a time to meet. So I emailed her again and copied everybody, and I said, look, to be clear, I've asked for written feedback. Is there an issue? And then she's come back and said, the director is offering face-to-face feedback only, and that they do not want to put in writing why they have not shortlisted me for this role. The other quick thing I will, what I wanted to mention is, I had, we do an annual event every year, and it does involve a lot of people internally within the organisation and also a lot of external people who might be asked to come in and speak at the event. And there are various sessions that we run throughout the overall day. And as managers, we're asked to facilitate some of those sessions. So that might be to find speakers. And these will be, you know, either senior professionals in their area or sometimes, you know, politicians or senior members of, senior people. And we do briefings for these individuals, and we're their point of contact until the day of the event, and follow up if need be. So in the briefings, we have a staff briefing and a briefing that we send out to the speakers. And every year we're asked to provide our mobile phone numbers, and I never do it because my mobile phone number is my personal mobile phone number. I have no wish in any way, shape or form to give out my mobile numbers to internal staff or externally. Now, I have done it in the past, but that's my prerogative. It's not, you know, something the organisation should be forcing me to do because it's my personal number. Now, my head of team, you know, seems to think that she controls my life, my personal data, everything else. So this year has decided that she was going to make it an issue. And between her and my line manager, in various drafts of the briefing documents that have been created, being insistent that I provide my mobile phone number. So in the end, I thought, look, this is outrageous. And it was, you know, it was quite annoying and upsetting. So I went and I spoke to the head of governance in the organisation, and this person is responsible for managing the organisation's policy on information as a whole. And I had looked online before going to speak to him to just review the company policies on information. But it's quite fragmented in how they have information on our intranet, so sometimes it's not easy to find information. And I'd also spoken to union rep. So when I went to speak to him, and this was in March, I asked him to, you know, I explained the situation, and he said, no, there's absolutely no way that you should be asked to provide your mobile, your personal mobile, to anyone. And if that is the case, then what they're doing is making a business case for you to have your own personal mobile, work mobile, or to share a team mobile. I said, well, that didn't happen. And at the end of that meeting, he was due to provide me with the information on the actual organisation policy relating to staff personal mobile, etc. And I've been chasing him now for a month to provide that information to me. And he actually surprisingly did actually respond. I was going to chase him again, but he still hasn't provided the information to me. He's just clarified what information I want. And I believe that this is just a way of him protecting the individual. It appeared initially that he was very supportive and that he was supporting me, but there's no way that he shouldn't have provided me with that information. And it was very clear in the discussion that we had what it related to. And before I'd raised any matters with him about, you know, my feelings on the issue, he had said, oh, perhaps you need to involve HR as well if it seems like it is, you know, if it's wider, and that, you know, perhaps this issue extends beyond just how we manage information. So he immediately knew that my manager was behaving inappropriately with me. So, you know, I guess my point is it's just how, and I think it relates to some earlier points about sometimes these individuals and organizations can present themselves as being very supportive, but actually they collude. I'm sure he's probably had conversations with my head of team already. It's just that there was a long audit trail of me chasing him for this information, because as an organisation, they have a duty of care to protect me. And certainly, there's absolutely no way that I would be providing my personal information or should be forced to provide my personal information to, quite frankly, strangers. But I'll end it there, Gus, because I'm conscious I've been speaking for a while.
Wow. Stacey in the UK sharing workplace racism at 3:12 a.m. London time. I was taking notes with the mobile phone policy. That's another policy and procedure. Policy and procedure. Is everyone required to give out their mobile phone information? I'd want a clear answer to that question. If we can't get that clear, well then, whoa, everything, because it's even, I think, in the UK, it's still supposed to be equal protection under the law. I know they don't have the Constitution, but I think they have a similar framework of laws where everybody's supposed to be treated in what they call an equal manner. If I'm the only one that's being singled out, that, you know, you got to give us that mobile information. Well, now, as you stated, maybe you all should get me a phone. Then it won't be a problem. I'll have a mobile phone and I'll make sure that it's on. You'll have the number and no problem. But personal, come on now. And policy and procedure, just keep going back to that. Very, very important to know that policy and procedure. Again, I agree with the Forbes policy. You should read it and know it before you agree to take the job. The conflict with the black female, that situation you've been updating us on for a while, I think that is a important, critical, really, aspect of counter-racism on these job situations. This situation started with a white man making a false accusation, and now we have a black female raising concerns about another black female on the job. Whites are brilliant at that sort of thing. I think it's great that you've outlined that consistently as something that you're trying to make sure you mitigate so that it doesn't end up being conflict with you two. And the writing aspect for it to be a part of their stated policy, that you can get written feedback if they're not going to promote from within and move on up their own BMEs. I remember that doing my UK reading, that they're not going to do it, then you should be able to get it in writing what the issue is, so you'll know what to work on. And their reluctance or unwillingness to do so will give you verbal feedback, but nothing in writing. Very important. White people, they know, worldwide, whites, racists, they understand the power of having something in writing, that can be major. I'll hush there. Do we have other folks have either commentary or your own situation that you wanted to share? If you have a hand up, your line should be open.
Greetings. Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Greetings, Gus. This is Jay from New York, just reaching out. Greetings to the callers and listeners. Just wanted to kind of make some quick commentary. Wanted to give some feedback on the male caller that's going through training. Congratulations on the new position. I did want to kind of recommend, and we've talked about it on a show previously, about possibly getting earbuds while at work. This way you could actually have the earbuds in, probably don't even have to have anything playing. Still kind of paying attention to what's going on around you, but when someone comes up, it's almost kind of like if they tap you to even talk, you would be like, I didn't hear anything that was going on. So this way you don't even have to get into the back and forth and wasting the time. Also, during training periods, you're usually timed on the activities that you're working on. So if this young lady came around and took all that time away from you, that may penalize you later on if they're timing you on the work that you were, you know, training on the computer. So just kind of keep that in mind as you're going through. For the female caller, the teacher that was asked to mop the floor, I know some of the earlier callers had mentioned about documenting. I totally agree with that. One of the things that I've used in my own situations and learned after having to go to an attorney for a situation that I had, one of the key things that the attorney mentioned was making sure that you use words like racist action, you felt that happened to you because you were targeted because of your color, or because you're Black, or because you're the only, but making sure that we use the terminology and that it's not left open to interpretation, because in the end, if it's not direct, it's very difficult later on as you're trying to get any type of activity, you know, some type of outcome from the case itself. In reference to like mobile phones, I have my own kind of situation. I had a position where I was working from home, and they told me, go ahead and just use your own mobile phone. So I wasn't as informed when I had started the position, so I didn't go through all of the information in reference to the policy and procedures. Took me about a day. I went through the policy and procedures and realized that you can use your own mobile phone, but they're required to provide you with one. They didn't tell me anything about that. So I actually, after my quote-unquote manager told me to use my own phone, everybody on the team does it. He even uses his own phone, and he's been doing it for 5 years, and he went on and on and on. And I said, well, I read policy, procedure guide. I saw that, you know, I can, you know, request for a phone. I'd like a phone instead of adding, you know, my own personal phone. And they had to get me the personal mobile phone. So just wanted to make that commentary. That's all I had. Thanks.
Awesome. I wish I used to have an applause button. I would use it. Awesome. I cannot say it enough. Read policy and procedure. I used to not do that either on the job, or not reading it in its entirety. Reference it. Go back and check it out. It can really save you in some situations, and it might even be some great information like that. Like, oh, whoa. I have already picked out my phone. Here you go. Thank you. great. Read your policy and procedure. Mandatory for counter racism on the job. Other folks that we have not heard from. Line should be open. Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Curtis V. I'm calling to give an update. I emailed you guys last week about the woman's shoes.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking. I was wondering if you were going to call in. Thank you so much for calling for the update, sir.
Yeah. All right, so I took all you guys' opinions. I decided not to do a in-store solution formal complaint. And just a recap, some people might know, it's pretty much I sell women's shoes at a retail store. And we use iPods to get our shoes. I scan a shoe, say we had it. The shoe team that works to get my shoes came back and gave me the wrong shoe. I went to the young lady. I said, hey, this is the wrong shoe. Can you fix it? She went to go fix it and told me I don't have it and this is all I have. So I took it upon myself to go where the shoe's located. And her manager, who does the same job as her, followed me there. And when I got there, the shoe was there. And, you know, he started a conflict with me, pretty much saying I need to get out of here and I'm not supposed to do that. That's when I asked him a question. Is what I'm doing against the company's policy and procedure? He said, yes. I said, can you show me today where that is written? He said, yes. It never happened. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a report to the HR manager, my manager, and my supervisor. And I never got, no one ever got back to me. Pretty much I just requested in writing if what I did was wrong or whatnot. So my manager talked to me this week pretty much about it. I sat down with her after another incident happened, and she pretty much just verbally confirmed, you know, it's not in the policy and procedure. You know, we're working on fixing things. But if I'm in that situation again, pretty much ask the lead person. If it's, I get problems, call her. So, I mean, the reason I'm not doing an in-store solution claim is it's like a formal complaint. That's going to be on my profile. So, I mean, like, recently I had a performance review where I almost scored a perfect score. And they pretty much said, hey, if you ever want a promotion, da-da-da, this is the proof that, you know, you can get it. I don't want it. The second thing is, I'm one of the top performers in this location. So I'm actually making more money every year I'm working there. So I don't want to deal with the hassle about it pretty much like that. I just don't want extra problems dealing with it. So, I mean, that's my update as far as that goes. But what's interesting is for one of my direct supervisors, this past Sunday, she called me over, said, "Hey, Curtis, can you scan this? Give me this shoe in a size 6. I did what she said. Said, "Hey, I don't have it. Only have 7.5 or bigger." She said, "Well, the computer says we have a 6. I'm going to go look for it." I said, "Wow, that's funny. I did the same thing and told I was breaking the company's policy and procedure." And she didn't know about my issue. She said, "What are you talking about?" And, you know, that's the reason why my manager, who I asked to get back to me, sat down with me and we went over things. But that's pretty much my update as far as that goes. You know, I decided I'm just not going to do it based on, I don't want the formal report / complaint, whatever. They call it a complaint on my record.
Very, very logical. Curtis D, if folks remember from last week, we talked about the situation, and I think myself and some of the other callers who heard Curtis's situation, we thought it sounded like there might be something untoward. I don't know if people could be stealing, because it seemed like this was happening a lot, where merchandise would come up on the inventory as not being there, and then you go look and it was there. So it just seemed suspicious. And then with Curtis being accused of having done something, as he said, violating policy and procedure, and myself and I think some of the other callers, we suggested it might be best to do the in-store claim solution or whatever it's phrased, just because this could be something where if they notice, hey, merchandise is coming up where it's not in the inventory or something seems a little strange here, if you've been accused of being in this area and you're not supposed to, that they could try and say you were involved or something. But your logic makes total sense. If you're doing well, then you don't want to jeopardize your employment and your good standing. Right on. And more importantly, you said that this your supervisor sat down with you and said that it's not in the policy and procedure, which would seem to suggest what you were originally, when you were accused, that was a false accusation, like we thought. But, you know, you were told it was not in the policy and procedure, and if there are any other problems in the future, contact the supervisor, and I guess this person will deal with it. I guess the only other thing, you did make a request to have this in writing. I would have preferred, just as Stacy in the UK, I would have preferred to have that in writing from her, because it seems like this could happen again, where you get falsely accused or what have you, to just, hey, such and such date, time, bam, that it's not in policy and procedure, and this matter should never come up again until policy and procedure has been amended. But great if you got it resolved, and that is a great, I guess they would call it maybe cherry on top, to see that other people are not subjected to these same sort of accusations for doing something as simple as going back to see if the merchandise is there. Hey, that's what we're in the retail business. Let me go the extra mile for customer service. Other people aren't subjected to those type of accusations. They don't have to do all this. But I'm so glad you gave us the update, and at least for the moment, it seems like you have got things to a satisfactory resolution. So, yeah, let us know if it continues. Other folks that dialed in, have a hand up? Did we miss anybody? Anybody has a hand up that we have not heard from? Did we nab everybody? Anybody that we missed completely have a hand up? All right, I'll assume that we got everybody. Let me make sure I do not miss any of the folks who wrote in. We had Black Male. He said, he wants to be referenced as Mike. Mike says, so this is workplace racism from last week. On the job, I had a white guy who Googled my address and showed me a picture of my house. Since I worked in the public sector, they were able to look up my salary and how much overtime I worked. Any jerk sitting down at a computer can find out just about anything about you they want. So if you say you aren't married and you are, they know it. I didn't care what they knew about me, and I didn't talk much about my personal life. It is sad that blacks have to be schizophrenic
with a workplace personality and a different personality out of the workplace. That is a mental illness and is certain to manifest itself in pathological behaviors all around. This is in reference to last week. I think people were having issue with white people asking them like personal information, and some people were saying, hey, I just, you know, fabricate a whole different life or what have you, answers to their questions. And I think I was saying that I'm a victim, that I would have a difficult time keeping track of my fabrications. So I just try and say things that are true, but just limit how much I'm going to share. So we were talking about which strategy to use, and this person basically saying that a lot of white people, they could just go on the computer and, you know, find out any type of information that they want, which I would say in these days and times is probably true. Probably good to keep that in mind as well. Other folks have commentary that they want to share.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
A suggestion to a previous caller. They mentioned that a suspected white supremacist female got them to lower their guard and use a conversation about two rappers or multiple rappers. One thing that I have noticed is that suspected racists, they'll pretend to care about topics like rap or choose to basically have conversations and gather information from non-white people that they classify as black. A way to counteract this racist action, I suggest, is just have a code that says, I'm not going to talk to suspected racists about rap. You know, I personally, you know, they'll try to come to me and they'll have, you know, give me your top five or, you know, what is that? You know, I think Kendrick Lamar is better than mumble rap and, you know, all sorts of, you know, all sorts of hip hop conversations du jour that have been constructed by the suspected racist in charge of complex media and, you know, Vlad TV and all of these other outlets that basically goad black people into bickering with one another over nothing for their amusement. I'm also just going to say this. There's a hip-hop blogger, Taxstone, who's currently suspected of murdering another black male over hip-hop blog beef, so to speak, that was instigated by all of these suspected racists that are around this hip-hop genre. So when a suspected racist starts talking to you about rap music, I suggest you grow mum, have no opinion, shrug your shoulders, and keep it moving. Thank you.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving. Amen. I know some people have employed the exact same code with sports. They don't do any of that. Once that conversation comes up with a white person trying to come in and get you to talk about the guy, I don't even watch sports. I don't know anything about sports. Back to the job. Great code to have as well. Other folks that dialed in, did we miss anybody? Anybody with a hand up we haven't heard from?
Greetings to you, Gus. This is Ross. How are you doing? Well, I know how you're doing.
Victor, right, poorly, like I am, right, so.
I totally understand. I've missed you. I've missed all of the other callers. I've been dealing with quite a bit outside of work with my father-in-law. He's kind of taking a turn for the worse, so we've been trying to get him back together. And it's been taking a lot of intense work. So after work, I've been having to go over there quite often. And then had some other stuff going on, but I'm glad to be able to come call in tonight. I was listening earlier, then I had to drop off to go take care of him, and now I'm back again. So I did have an update with the job. So I did, I believe I did discuss last time I was on the program that that my
company decided to relocate our entire department to Arizona. And I predicted that well over a year ago. So it's finally come to fruition. And they have like a whole severance package, which I'm just going to basically deal with that so I can take a breather. And that'll probably give me more time to help my wife in the interim while I look for something else. I'm not really worried about that too tough. But ultimately, they've been doing something that I noticed. They have these meetings weekly. We have these meetings at least twice a week with our team leader. And now they're having these conferences on doing quality work all the way through to the end of your tour with the company. And I'm thinking because on previous occasions, other people have gotten very lackadaisical and didn't want to do anything, which I understand because the company had mistreated quite a few of us, have messed with a lot of our pay and done all kinds of things, just done crafty white supremacist things like just change things and make decisions that don't make sense and practice racism, white supremacy. So what I'm seeing is that because everything is now out in the open in regards to everyone being aware of what's happening after they invited to everyone for practically a year, they're trying to be more preemptive about keeping everyone's mindset focused on the quality of work that they're providing to the members. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, hey, that's what I'm paid to do. So I'm going to, you know, do the best job possible, regardless of what the circumstances are. And like I said, I predicted it over a year ago. So it wasn't anything that I was surprised by whatsoever. I kept my resume out there from the entire time I worked there. So it wasn't anything that was lost on me. But I just noticed that once white people are caught, because we've talked about the fact that they really don't care about anything. They really care about getting caught practicing racism, which lying is probably one of the biggest things they do to practice racism. So once now everything is out in the open, they realize that the morale has dropped and a lot of people have left and gone to other departments to try and keep their employment at the company. And it's really interesting because in those other departments, the people that I know that have been in that department and are seeing what's happening within the company, they're now thinking that because this department specifically is the claims department, and they work very closely with member services, which is the department I was in that does account management stuff. So now the claims department is starting to think that in the next few months they're going to end up moving claims over there, which is what I think is going to happen as well. So they're really trying to keep morale up. And I noticed that they really play a lot of psychological games with black people and other non-white people, especially when something like this takes place. And ultimately, it's really about just being aware and just for the most part, just not being fooled by anything that they do to try to make you think that you're a member of some family. I heard you talking about that earlier, and that's something that they did in the company that I work for, is they propagated this "you're part of the family" mentality. And I hate that. It's just nauseating to me. We're not family. This is a plantation, and that whole family aspect is just a plantation mentality. And you're trying to just corral your slaves to think and function the way that you want them to think and function while in your presence on this job. So just be aware of those tacky things that they try. And especially when ultimately they already know what they're going to do beforehand. And they've been lying to you for as long as possible to try and make you think things aren't what they really are. So that's pretty much my update for now, and I'm hoping I'll be able to chime in more often as well. But like I said, I did miss you, and I miss everyone else. So thanks again, Gus, and I'll mute my line.
For sure. Good to hear from you as well, Roz. I wish your father-in-law the best. Hope your family is doing well and taking care of him. And, I remember the update with the workplace situation. And get that $5,000 bonus. Let's make those race soldiers give you the maximum. Did folks have commentary or anything more that they wanted to share? I know we had other folks who wrote in. I need to make sure I get that in before we conclude as well. But other folks have commentary they wanted to add?
I was just going to say with the incident of the white female attempting to converse with the black males on the job, I would know Dr. Welsing would probably say you know, that is definitely in people activity number 8. I wouldn't be surprised if she was attempting to solicit one or both of those black males with a sexual encounter, whether it's on that job or in her quote-unquote private life, that she's probably very active with black males. I would say, unfortunately, a lot of black males are attracted to that very type of white females. And I agree with Mr. Fuller when he says that in that particular situation, it is the white female who is the initiator, whether or not there's going to be a sexual encounter with a between a white female and a non-white black male. And that just that what the way he did a very good job of explaining it, that sounds just like just what she was attempting to do. And that's all I have to say on that.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to follow up on what the firefighter just said. My as an attempted dad, I do strange things happening with my two children every day after school. So basically, they come and they kind of go through strange things that have happened in a terroristic way to them at school. My son came to me there in this racist testing, school testing that they have going on this week. So they were done with their test, similar to the story of the caller that was in training. They were on break from the test. My son had went to a computer, plugged in his headphones so he could kind of do a couple of assignments on the computer. One of the racist young girls, similar to this girl, came over and pulled out the headset that he had plugged into the computer. My son said the teacher saw the whole interaction. He asked the racist girl to stop, don't do it. He plugged it back in, and she took it out again, and she's like, well, I wanted to ask you something. He already knows he's on code based on our conversations. He's not interested in having any conversations. He said, I just want to pay attention to what I'm doing. He plugs it back in. Now, she's out of her seat, no one's supposed to be out of their seat, but she's out of her seat. He's in his seat. The teacher doesn't even tell her to get back in to her seat. He actually has to call to the teacher's attention after he saw the teacher looking at the interaction, asking her to go back to her seat. He eventually, after the third time my son has to plug back his headset, asks the racist young girl to go back to her seat, and he's finally able to get back to his work, and he couldn't wait to kind of call me at the end of the day and tell me the story, because he said as soon as he looked in the corner of his eyes, because he's a bit more codified than the other kids, he doesn't talk about sneakers, which they're always talking about. He doesn't talk about sports or anything. So they're always trying to get his attention. He knew that she was coming, but it sounded so similar. And just like the firefighter said, it almost seems like, in a way, they're trained from young in reference to kind of going after this attention. And he's noticing every year that there's more and more of a push on trying to get that attention. So I think the younger we can teach them about how it's going to come at them, the better it will be down the road. I just wanted to share that. I'll be my line.
Outstanding. Talking with the young children about the system of white supremacy is extremely important, and having them, you know, be alert, observant, things that are happening to them while they're in school. That is phenomenal. I know some of our other parents who listen to the program, they're doing similar activities with their children. That is phenomenal. That right there prepares your children, and having them think about school as their job,
I think, very important in training them so that they have great habits for how they conduct themselves on the job. Princess, you should be with us as well. Did you have commentary?
Yes. Real quick, I just wanted to give you guys an update on my workplace situation. So I'm here in Florida, and I had, just so if anybody doesn't know, I was initially in another location in Ocala, but I was forced to relocate, and I did a bit of hopping around until I got to the new location where I'm at now, because it had been brought to my attention. I was accused of calling corporate on the then my then store manager, which was untrue completely, but the damage was done. And you know, so since then they've been trying to do damage control. Once they found out that I was not the person or persons that did so, and so since then my current manager, which is a Black female, approached me a couple of weeks ago after the DM had did a store visit, and basically was trying to get me to use some of my PTO time, because I have about over 150 hours worth of PTO. Apparently they had already looked it up and told me, because I had no idea from when I last checked when I was on a leave. Basically, she asked me, would I be willing to take off for a week in order to be able to get the new hires that she had brought in to be able to get them up and trained. And so right away, I knew that there was something behind that. So I called her bluff and said, sure. So her response was like, oh, well, that was easy. And so I just start asking her a bit more questions about some things. And it, you know, the initial excuse was because, you know, they were just trying to get the new hires in for training. Well, it turned out that she was bringing another assistant store manager in. And our company just recently changed the policy where the assistant store managers, unlike the store managers, are no longer on salary, they're on hourly. So by bringing this assistant store manager, that means that three other leaders are going to have to, either one of the three leaders, myself included, is going to have to leave. So magically, I'm the one that they want to approach. And because they viewed my profile and all my information, they tell me that, oh, I have all this time and this, that, and other. So I'm like, okay. And I was just like, well, I'm not trying to be a floater or anything like that, because they know that your hours aren't guaranteed. And so, you know, so at that point, I kind of just said, you know what, I might as well just throw in my chips. So I immediately went on ahead, and I was cool, calm, and collective, but I just told her, I said, you know what, I don't want to be a problem to you. I don't want to take hours from anybody else. I'd rather just completely transfer out to the new store that's being built 3 miles away from my house. You know, I'm driving 30 miles to come to this store each to and fro. So why don't I just transfer out? You can bring whoever this manager is in and transfer me to the new store that's going to be opening next month. So basically, make a long story short, someone, I had my interview on the 20th. So from the time I had called on from the 18th, someone, something was said to someone, because I had gotten the call this past Monday, and they said, and I quote, that they are moving in another direction, and that at this time they decided to go with another candidate. Now, tonight I just went to one of the local stores here just to go get some, you know, provisions and stuff. And lo and behold, I walk in and they have a full display out of this you know, not hiring, you know, all positions available, this, that, and the other. So I immediately speak to one of the representatives, and I'm like, what is all of this? I thought all the positions had been, you know, full. You know, I'm just playing dumb. And she was like, no, that was just dropped here today by the representative. And she was like, they've already talked to people here at our location. Nobody's leaving anymore. Everybody wants to stay where they're at. So I'm like, and this is what I keep on getting from other stores that I've visited thus far in town in the surrounding area. They're not, you know, transferring anybody. Everybody's happy where they're at. So they're obviously still hiring. And so that just let me know that somebody's been doing some talking in order to block me from getting where I need to get.
Wowee. That is typical. I think that's one of the things, one of the big points, as I understand racism, white supremacy, that I would hope anyone who listens to the cows gets. White people, they network. Again, white people are not ignorant about racism. They talk to one another. I had spoke with Princess earlier this week, and I was saying the same thing. I am sure, because she transferred. She was working at one of the previous branch, or one of the branches in a different state, and then to her place now in Florida. And I was saying that I'm sure the race soldiers, plantation masters from the old location, called up the other racists and said, oh, yeah, that was our nigra. Man, she tried to retaliate and call corporate and get us in trouble. Man, I'm so glad she's out here. Make sure you put in. They've been doing that for centuries with black people. I'm sure that's what happened. And I mean, to have that sort of tackiness where you even try, I'm trying to help you all out. I know you all got an hour situation and all that. Hey, I can dip. I can transfer. I can go to the new site. No problem. And they can't even do that without some tackiness. Like, oh, no, we already got that. And you don't have the staffing hired. You just don't want to transfer me over. Just standard racist operating procedure. This is what you can expect from whites, all areas of people activity. We just happen to be talking about labor. And white people, they do talk. Keep that in mind. They do talk. It'll be worldwide, within your locale, within your block, all of the white people on your job. That's, you should just have that in mind, that they are talking about you and swapping notes on you regularly, and all the niggers that you work with. We have about 10 minutes left. Did other folks have commentary, either on what they just heard from Princess or any other comments, commentary you want to share?
Hi, Gus.
Stacy in the UK hanging tough, nearly 4 a.m. Yes, ma'am.
If nobody's got any comments, there was another incident I wanted to share.
Yes, ma'am.
And I've added this because every time I hear Roz share some of his incidents of racism on the way to and from work, and so this is one that I wanted to share because I always think about things that happen to me when he's talking. So a couple of weeks ago, I was travelling home on the tube from work, and I... Just like him, actually, there's been a number of occasions where usually it's white females, but on one occasion it was a white male who just bump into me on tube stations, or our underground station, as we call it. I'm not quite sure what you call it over there, metro or subway. And but on this occasion, a couple of weeks ago, I was on the actual train itself, and I was facing the door, and I had my headphones on. So there was, sometimes it's quite crowded, and it's always the case that someone will try and squeeze past you. That's standard practice because the trains are always overcrowded. But on this occasion, rather, because I had my headphones on, I don't know whether this woman was trying to get my attention, but I certainly didn't hear anything, and she didn't sort of tap me in any way to let me know that she was trying to get off of the train. So all I felt was a push in my back, which really stunned me because I had no, you know, I simply wasn't expecting it. And then she just walked off the train. So I got off the train because I just thought, absolutely no way am I going to take that. And it wasn't my station, but it was on my route home. And so I called her in the station and I said, what did you just do that for? And she said, well, I was trying to get off and you wouldn't get out of the way. So I said, well, why didn't you make yourself known to me? Why did you just push me? Well, you should have been standing there and you know, what was I to do? So I said, well, what you don't do is assault someone, because what you've just done is carried out an assault. So I says, and I know that our train stations have police as standard. So I said, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go upstairs and then we're going to raise this with the station police, because you've just assaulted me and I'm not going to actually tolerate that. So we went upstairs, and I must admit there was quite a bit of shouting because I was actually fuming. And she said, well, it's your fault. What was I to do? Whatever. So I said, well, what you don't do is assault someone. And I made a point of actually stating that she'd assaulted me, because I was well aware that there were lots of people around. And, you know, this is a white female. I'm a black female. So I know in that scenario, unless I'm making it very clear, you know, people will perceive that I'm the issue. So when we got upstairs, she made a point of running through the barrier, but I did actually make the station staff aware that I wanted to speak to the police. We left the station and she wouldn't come back. And then, I followed her for a bit and I said, well, either way, we're going to report this. And I thought, hang on a minute, I better not follow this woman for too much longer, because otherwise they'll turn around and say that I'm stalking her or you know, harassing her, whatever. Went back into the station. Now, I'm mindful that the underground stations that we have, everything's on camera. So I did report it to the police. They wrote to me, acknowledged the incident, but in the letter, you know, they said, oh, well, you know, there might not be much that we can do about it, which, you know, really annoyed me, because it's recorded. Now, even though she left the station, everything, you know, in London certainly is on camera. But one thing I did note, that when I was speaking to the police officer, he'd asked me, where was I from? Where was I born? Etc., etc. And I was so annoyed, because I thought to myself, what the hell has that got to do with the incident that I'm reporting? So I knew he was practicing racism, so I wasn't surprised that there was not going to be any real follow-up to the incident that I'd reported. But I didn't want to make it an issue there and then, because I just thought, okay, he's obviously playing, he's obviously being a race soldier. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and see how he actually pursues this matter. But the letter that I received made it clear to me that they obviously weren't going to do a lot of follow-up. So I haven't heard anything more. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I think I've just got to the stage in life where I'm not going to accept any kind of nonsense from any little race soldier. But rather than, you know, do the obvious thing, you know, she pushed me. That's assault. I raised it as a complaint with the police. And that's the way I I'm not saying every single time I'm going to get into some kind of legalistic response to everything that race soldiers do. But, it's like with everything else, you know, I'm just at a point where I'm not going to actually just tolerate just the ongoing abuse without some kind of challenge to it. And hopefully that female, because, you know, she did... you know, all of a sudden she was changing her tone, but this is my life, you know, I can't, you know, deal with these things. This is my life. And it was her way of trying to ask me not to pursue it. I thought, no, you decided to push me. So therefore there are consequences to your behavior. But yeah, I just thought I'd raise that, because it's just, you know, it's an incident on the way home from work. But also every time I do hear Will speak about his situations on journeys to and from work, that, you know, this is also a very common occurrence, and I'll meet my line.
Wow. Absolutely. I think Roz, I think a number of folks, I have said it myself, even though I don't do a workplace commute, but I have said, and that is a huge aspect of white supremacy, is that they will place black people in residential areas where they have to travel long distances to get to and from work. They've done tons of reports and studies on this. And then that's an additional element of white supremacy, that you either having to drive long distances to get to and from work and all the additional harassment and terrorism you face in the commute. If you take the train or what have you, or even if you drive and you have to deal with, you know, hopefully not getting stopped by a race soldier and road rage and everything else. But yeah, we've talked about that. And I agree. I think that that is black self-respect, not allowing or doing all that you can if you are abused, mistreated, to say something about it. I think Mr. Fuller would describe that as driving the cost of the business of racism, driving that cost up by going to report, calling enforcement officials, seeing if you can get that on her record, just anything that you can to, you know, not just, I guess they call it passively accept white terrorism. I think that's outstanding, and let us know how it goes if they're able to actually pursue any charges on this white woman. And again, don't underestimate white women. They are terroristic. They are violent. They are aggressive. They're racist. Dangerous. Do not underestimate them. That's a tendency worldwide. Any final comments, folks? Need to get in last couple minutes before we conclude, or if everybody's satisfied.
I did want to clarify, Gus, that I suspect the day I had spoken to my store manager and initially called the new location and spoke with the hiring manager, that following day when I had the interview is when someone may have said something, and it was actually the store manager that I work for now. So this actually doesn't have any bearing on anybody in New Orleans. And how I know that is because I had already given my assistant store manager a heads up that she should be expecting the call, because they had asked which, you know, member of leadership had you worked with the longest. And I had given them her contact information. And so it was her that prompted and alerted me that, hey, no one ever followed up and called. So I asked within the actual interview, had they reached out to her, and they were like, oh, we was able to just pull your information, yada, yada. Mind you, I had my interview lasted over an hour and a half.
Stacy in the UK. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to that. I just think overall we just, as you said, need to recognise that actually they do talk. And I think where you said you'd actually gone and raised it with the manager, I just think there are lessons learned in terms of, you know, this is not just for your situation, but just in general. If the hiring managers have not followed up with her directly, don't go and alert her to it, because she's clearly demonstrated to you that she is not supportive of you, both in your role. Whether she believes you complained about her or not, she's clearly demonstrated that she hasn't got your interests at heart. So I just think in general, for other people listening, just to be very careful, let the hiring managers pursue whatever action they're going to take. I've been in a very similar situation where I had a manager trying to block me. I was initially on a temporary contract, and you know, they had the option to extend my contract, and they did that, you know, that had been done continuously. They hadn't, you know, notified me that they were going to extend my contract. So what I did do was, in the meantime, start applying for jobs internally within the organization. My manager had asked me if I was going to do so or to let her know. I said yes. I had zero intention of doing that because I knew she would block me. In the end, she did find out that I had obviously been interviewed, and it was a two-stage interview. And by that point, you know, she was just trying to block it. But the hiring manager had spoken to her, because obviously they will talk to other managers internally. But when she came back to me, she had said, oh, look, you know, your interview was outstanding. So that's the good news. But however, you know, people have raised issues about you, and she gave, you know, me the opportunity to respond to what had been said. And I was at that time taken off guard because I wasn't expecting it at that point, but I wasn't surprised. So I'm just saying, you know, just for people in general, you know, let the hiring managers decide whether or not they're going to approach your managers. If someone has demonstrated to you they do not have your interests at heart, I would just be as codified as possible and try and find jobs elsewhere, rather than, you know, thinking that people who smile at you are actually your friends, basically. And I'll make my line.
Right on, right on. That will wrap our Thursday Workplace Racism session for this week, but we will be here same time next Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And for folks in the UK, I guess that would be 1 a.m. technically Friday morning. But I hope it was a constructive investment of folks' evening or morning, wherever you happen to be. And definitely, if you dial in, if you share commentary with us for workplace racism, if you can give us the update, that is always appreciated. It's just helpful. Thanks to Curtis D and all the other folks that's in the UK for giving us the update. Like I said, it's just helpful to kind of know these are some techniques that work, and these are some examples of times. This is how this person dealt with that situation, and that's the outcome that I think is helpful for all of us, particularly people who regularly listen to the broadcast, just so we can get a better idea of the type of thing that might be helpful given, you know, a certain situation on the job. With that, we'll be here tomorrow. We are on session number 7, the autobiography of the late Mrs. Coretta Scott King, My Life, My Love, My Legacy. We are right at the point where her husband, Dr. King, was assassinated, and she's given some of the details of what her experience was at that time in 1968. We'll be here on Saturday. Compensatory call in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on news events from the past 7 days. We had a reschedule. We were supposed to be on the air this past Tuesday. Dr. Howard Stevenson, he's an author, black male professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He rescheduled, so he'll be with us on Tuesday. And finally, after months of delay and turmoil and strife, Trojan Horse Publications, Pam, will be back with us next Wednesday. We had reschedules and everything, but, you know, 40 days of flooding. But we have persevered, and she should be hanging out with us. I think this will be her first time with us this calendar year, so it would be good to check in with her. That'll be next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. If you have questions, problems, issues, guest suggestions, gripes, drop an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. Invest if you think the program is constructive. Listener-supported counter-racist radio, the blog racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. When you hit the blog, PayPal button is in the top right corner. If you are not into PayPal, drop us an email. We will get you a physical mailing address. Huge thanks to all the folks who have invested, got things from the wish list, supported us for 8+ years. Hope the program has been, continues to be worthy of your time and energy. With that, I will again encourage folks, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. I know springtime, you want to go out, get that vitamin D, get your sunshine. Great. Stay codified while you do so. Racists, they do not discontinue the system of white supremacy just because the weather is now nice. Especially remain sober. I have seen no evidence that us being intoxicated, alcohol, cannabis, anything else that they come up with, tobacco, I've seen no evidence that that's going to help us neutralize racist man, racist woman, racist child. If anything, it has made their job easier and their job to dominate and terrorize non-white people, especially black people. That's it. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places,
each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you're so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.